Oh, Ken. How can anybody of enlightened mind, and I'm not talking about the people who worship in the Roman Catholic Church with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other. That's not who I'm talking about. But how can anyone of an enlightened mind still remain inside the Roman Catholic Church, knowing what they do about what the Church has done? Consider the case that went down in Vermont. The Associated Press reported recently that dozens of former altar boys who sued Vermont's Catholic Church over alleged sexual abuse by priests are going to share in a nearly $18 million settlement of their cases. 26 former altar boys. Who were raped by priests will share in an $18 million settlement. The lawsuit itself accused the diocese of negligent hiring. Many of the cases centered on defrocked Reverend Edward Paquette. He was transferred into Vermont in the mid-1970s. And the case will not go to trial. It gets settled. Apparently, in order to make the payment, they're going to take it out of the hide of the parishioners. In a statement posted on the website of the 118,000 member diocese, Matano, who is the bishop, Bishop Salvatore Matano, said that to make the payment, the church would sell its Burlington headquarters, which includes prime undeveloped Lake Champlain waterfront property and a lakeside summer camp on Maletta Bay in Colchester. Who knows how I'm mispronouncing it? It's probably pronounced. Who knows? But yeah. And I guess we're supposed to feel sorry for them? I don't. Because I didn't see anything in that story about the defrocked priest. Being prosecuted or imprisoned. Don't see it anywhere. So once again, the church evades justice, and the parishioners pay it out of their hide. Because you know what? Parishioners' offerings, parishioners' tithes went to purchase that lakefront property. But parishioners are not the ones who did the evil deeds. I personally think that every check for this should be written by the Vatican, because they're the ones who ignored it all, who turned a blind eye. What's a little buggery? Wow. Just wow. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Fancy?
Hey. Several thoughts. One, I really enjoyed the interview with, was his name Pease? The fellow who wrote the book on...
Yes, yes.
Nice interview. Nice guy.
Thank you.
And really supported... Remember, one of my theories is that immigration is... The job of the first generation of immigrants is to survive.
Right.
The job of the second generation of immigrants is to... There is some genius. We will see genius in that second generation. And the third generation is to excel. And, you know, as I said, people who say, well, if they're going to live here, they're going to speak English. No. First generation's not going to speak English all that well. And some not at all. By the third generation, they will speak English better than you do.
Yes.
And my son teaches English, you know, in Germany. And he works with international business people. And one of the things he says is, he says, you don't be surprised if your English is a lot better than American native speakers.
Yes, absolutely. That's why
you have no idea how to not end a sentence with a preposition, or know the difference between who and whom.
Yeah, that preposition business is something up with which I will not put.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so yeah, we're going to see that. And I heard a quote this week from Bloomberg. I don't know when he said it. I don't know in what context he said it, but I really liked it. And this is Bloomberg of New York.
Yes.
A city of immigrants. And he's very much into the positive aspect of immigrants. And one of the things he suggested is, he said, well, immigrants are very often quite good at establishing small business. And he said, what he would like to do is just any immigrant that wanted one, come get a green card. And as long as you employed 10 or more people, that green card was valid. And I was thinking of all the specialty restaurants and the, you know, the small neighborhood businesses that serve communities. And it was like, hey, that is a really good idea. Like it a lot. And I think this is something we can look to, that I've never had the thought about Bloomberg one way or the other particularly. But, gee, that sounds like a good idea. That as long as you open a business and employ 10 or more people, you had a green card.
Why not?
Now, I heard something, and I guess I'm checking this against, watch the chat room and see what's, I heard somewhere that whatever, our new national jokes, is it Wrecker? R-E-K-E-R?
I'm not sure.
Not the sure pronunciation, are we?
No, and just, to, you know, whatever I say will be wrong.
I just remember how...
I can't believe I blew La Jolla, California the other night.
I worked so hard on Netanyahu originally. That was one that just stupefied me originally. Anyway, our friend who took his rent boy to Europe to carry his bag.
Yeah. Look, you know, the word is the Reekers. It has to be Reekers.
There's a certain...
Morally, ethically, and sort of karmically, it has to be Reekers.
Anyway, I heard, and I don't know if there's verification for this, but I heard somewhere that he felt that he would be helpful with young boys who were faced with the possibility of homosexuality in a treatment that involved spanking.
Spanking?
Spanking.
Naughty zoot.
You take that tight little ass and you just spank the gay away.
Hoo-wee.
So somebody get on the stick and find that exercise. I think I heard it on Stephanie this morning. But it certainly didn't come out of my brain because I don't exactly think that way. So someone is saying here on the most pleasant of these strange things I listen to and read. But if he had a regimen of helping pray away the gay and spank away the gay, we got a really, really sick dude here.
Oh, I don't, my poor mind can't go there this late in the program, Fancy.
Well, we're just moving on.
I mean, just sitting there, because I used to have a character that I would refer to on prayer meeting Wednesday as Pastor Whackbottom.
Well, and I think this may be of the same discipline.
I think we may be dealing with Pastor Whackbottom here. just sitting there smacking that butt. You know, Jesus loves you this side of whack.
My son was telling me he's got a discussion group that meets once a week. And mainly they're there to practice English. He lives in Germany. And they have interesting topics and they bring in interesting things. And he said one of the recent the religion thing, let's get back to that. He said they've talked about cults and various religions. And he said a number of people in his group have said, I'm waiting for grandma to die so I don't have to be Catholic anymore. And this apparently among his generation is a pretty common look. So I think we'll see less of this. I do want to say when I lived in Rome, and I don't remember who told me this, but someone was saying what happens traditionally in Rome, and probably in a lot of parishes around the world, is that an elder person who owns property is getting up in years and is visited by a priest who says, you know, you've lived a good life and you'll probably enjoy eternity in heaven, but it wouldn't hurt if you signed over some of your property to help Gramps move the way. We would, in case there's a question that you might not make it, and you signed over, you willed your property to the church, we certainly would do everything on this end to help push you through the hole. And so that beachfront property, et cetera. And see, in Rome, the church owns all these office buildings and commercial property, et cetera, et cetera, that they wouldn't have bought. They inherited. And so that's a great way to build up property and screw the rightful heirs. Hooray, hooray.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. And I know that there's always a point where when the priests visit the parents of children who may have been abused or had special ecclesiastic attention, they generally hint that you know, you don't need to talk about this. We're going to keep this quiet. And somewhere in there is, you know, if God hadn't meant for your kid to get screwed, he wouldn't have made him so cute.
Ooh, I know.
Yeah. It's got to be the kid's fault in there, and part of, you know, if he just wasn't so adorable and didn't have this propensity to flirt, and you take an uneducated family and put this in. And,
well, that's where that whole, you know, rosary in one hand, dead chicken in another part comes in.
Yeah, I know here in Phoenix, I am calling from Arizona. May I see your papers, please?
Oh, yeah, yes. Got them right here.
I can't believe the San Antonio thing today. San Antonio, I lived in San Antonio in the 60s. And one is at that time, currency in all the major stores. You could trade in either dollars and cents or pesos. That it was definitely a multi-currency culture. I think there always was more of a Hispanic population than there was anything else. And the other thing I'm kind of getting to here is, what is this either-or stuff? You know, if I wear a hockey shirt, you know, for a team out of the country, does that mean that I don't also enjoy another team?
Right. Well, you know, Canadians don't count. You know, as long as the NHL is safe from having Mexican hockey teams, we're okay.
I was doing video a couple of years ago from the community college, and the master control where I worked, we had feeds coming in from everywhere. It was kind of an amazing thing. And it was the World Cup, and so I had a lot of company dropping down to visit with me to watch the international feeds on World Cup. And we pretty much kept it on a Mexican station. And they had the funniest ads that I loved. And it was the master chef, and he was always fixing a dish from the country that they were about, that Mexico was about to play. And so I remember one, they were facing the Koreans. And the master chef said, "Today I'm cooking a dish that's well known in Korea. It's very, very popular. You're going to enjoy this dish." And you take the rice, and then he proceeds to just brutalize the rice. We're going to beat it. We're going to pound it. And it's all double talk for what, you know, go team go. And it was very, very funny. Ads for during the World Cup thing.
Yeah.
Another thought, and this is the accent thing, because we have a lot of accents here. And I dealt with classes, some were up here in Tucson, and some were by video in Nogales, and Nogales is on the border. And so there's a very common accent that pretty much you can describe as a bilingual speaker. You know, if you hear this accent, you pretty much assume that the person speaking probably had Spanish as first language, English as second language, or pretty half and half. And a lot of times I've listened to the classes that were going on without really watching them, and I'm watching one day, and there's a kid, and he's got a very non-Hispanic name. His name was something, you know, like Tom Wilson. And I looked at him, and Tom Wilson had blonde hair, and obviously, you know, just pretty much there's some Anglos in the background there somewhere. And his speech pattern was classic Nogales bilingual pattern. And that we do have people like that. We have people who aren't dark, who very much have multicultural upbringing. And now there's some talk of not letting teachers teach who have accents.
Yeah, that's the other one out there that I haven't even gotten to. Teachers, English teachers, being removed from being able to teach English if they don't have the right accent.
This is insane.
Well, you know, I really do think I sort of hit on a mnemonic, if you will, if I'm using the right word, for where we are when I was talking with Sandra earlier, Fancy. This whole country is smack dab in the middle of its guess who's coming to dinner moment. And that's the problem. Everybody's coming to dinner. All the darker-skinned people are coming to dinner, and Whitey is scared out of its wits.
Yeah. And it's now, this is going to pass because we will eventually realize that there are more non-traditional whites in the country, collectively, than there are whites. Thank you. Step down off of the podium and start learning to share, kids.
Yeah, and it would. I think it was Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago who said it might be a good idea to start being nicer now, because in 20 years, white folks is minority folks. Don't want that special water fountain, Whitey? Learn to get along now. But that's entirely too much for the Rand Pauls and that Pierce creep out there in Arizona. You know, this guy is literally a neo-Nazi, Fancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And see, Janet Napolitano protected us. Now that she's gone, we have no protection.
Yeah, and you were left to the tender mercies of the right wing, you know.
Believe in, it is.
I mean, do you think she would have signed that into law?
Napolitano, she'd have laughed it off.
Yeah, never in a million years. Fancy, I do have to roll, though, because we are smack dab on top of it. It's quitting time.
It's quitting time. Well, yeah, keep your feet dry there, and love to everybody in the chat room and on the line.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Fancy. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Fancy calling from Arizona. That's the end of the program. Thanks for joining in this evening. I will be back either Thursday evening or certainly Friday evening. After the trip down for the Music Saves Mountains concert in Nashville. Thanks for the well wishes. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be something really special. Thanks to everybody for your More and Monday nominations, for your comments, your thoughts, your emails, your participation in the chat room. However it is that you participate in this little enterprise, this little undertaking of ours, it is much appreciated. Thanks for the support. Thanks for helping this keep going from month to month to month to month. Thank you so very much. We made it halfway through May, which is a huge, huge thing. That makes it a little more hopeful as we go downhill toward the end of May. Thanks to everybody who makes this happen in front of mics, behind keyboards, and what have you, to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, who since 2002 with WhiteRoseSociety.org literally has saved the idea, the very idea of liberal talk in the United States of America. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to my Southeast correspondent, our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne, osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com. If you haven't voted for Matt in his ongoing effort to get a Netroots Nation scholarship, please go and do so, and encourage others to do so, because frankly, he's been slipping. He was really, really surging ahead for a while, but then I guess other people had surges too, and now he's fallen back considerably. If you haven't voted for him, just go to the link at osborneinc.com, OSBORNEINK.com. Go there and vote, please. This is important. We want Matt with us at Netroots Nation in Vegas this summer, because Matt does a tremendous, tremendous job. And, of course, thanks to my head writer, David in Tennessee, with some really good information along the way this evening. And let's see, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. If you've ever had any doubts about what a daunting task it is to stand up and demand that we be treated as human beings here in Appalachia, well, things like $100,000 bonds on peaceful protesters should give you a pretty good idea of why I call the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch the hardest-working, bravest people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And welcome! The week begins anew, and an odd little week it is indeed. Just some program notes and errata and so forth to get things started. We will have a show today, tonight, and we will have a show on Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday there will be no shows because I'm on the road. There is a huge, huge, I tell you, huge concert taking place in Nashville at the venerable, esteemed, and historic Ryman Auditorium, home of the Grand Ole Opry. Called Music for the Mountains. And it features quite a lineup. You can look it up if you want. And I'm going to be there. Some Appalachian folks from Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Virginia were invited to be guests at this event. And so I'm traveling to toward Nashville tomorrow, and then the concert Wednesday, and traveling home on Thursday. Whew. Show on Friday, with any luck, maybe show on Thursday, but that one I'm not promising. Let's see. Then next week, you want to know what my life is like right now? And I'm not complaining, but it's a little harem scarem, and this is what it is. So
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week, I'm gone. Friday, I get on a plane. Friday, I get to be home. Saturday, I get on a plane, fly to Salt Lake City, Utah, where I'm going to be participating in a panel discussion on mountaintop removal, and fly home on Monday. By Tuesday, I should be behind the microphone hollering, "Hello, Cleveland." That's what we're looking at. So then it's a normal week or so to, and then coming up in June the 7th and the 8th. June the 7th and the 8th, we'll be broadcasting live from the America's Future Now conference in Washington, D.C. So it's going to be a little bit busy. And then we have to start thinking about Netroots Nation, which is third week of July in Las Vegas. Whew. I'm going to be a little busy. And by the way, thank you. Everyone who pulled together and chimed in and made Glenn's matching offer work, you succeeded. Thank you very, very much. It was important that we get that first, at least half of the month's fundraising done by the halfway mark of the month, because with my schedule being as weird as it is, there would be no guarantee that I'd be here to, you know, do the Jimmy Swaggart, the crying on the air thing, to make sure that we raised sufficient funds to get us through the month of May. And so you guys met. We made it to halfway to May, halfway through May, which is a bit of a high water mark as it stands. So I'm going. I'll be on the road these next couple of weeks, off and on. And I appreciate you taking some of the heat off the fundraising need. Now all we've got to do is get the rest of the way to done with May, and we're there. So, thumbs up. Now, enough of that. No, I'm not going to Cleveland. That's an old joke. Yeah. Hello, Cleveland, you know, when you're in Detroit or, you know, Seattle or something. Hello, Cleveland. It comes from This is Spinal Tap. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. guess what today is? You know, that's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Step right up. Step right up. You will be amazed. You will be surprised. You will not believe your ears. It is Moran Monday on the horn. And I gotta emphasize to you, you know, there's different categories of Morans. There's media Morans, political Morans, they're almost always, without fail, right-wing Morans. But there are also, how should we put this? There are your funny Morans, your stupid Morans, and then there are your mean-ass Morans. And what we've got this evening, by way of example, is a mean-ass Moran. Meet Magistrate Porter Snodgrass. And here's a fun one for you. Porter is probably a Democrat. But that doesn't mean he's not a Moran, and he is a mean-ass Moran. Porter Snodgrass of Boone County, West Virginia. You know, I've told you time and time again about the miscarriages of justice that take place in this state. How a nonviolent protester was sentenced to 60 days in jail when someone who actually beat Judy Bonds upside the head got no jail time at all. Nonviolent, 60 days. Incredibly violent, slap on the wrist. The difference being that the nonviolent protesters are protesting against the mountaintop removal, whereas the violent person was acting out in behalf of the coal industry. You know, it happened when another violent pro-coaler, what did he do? Yeah, he threatened to slit the throat of a man and his child. Him? No jail time. On the other hand, protest Massey and what they're doing to Central Appalachia, there's jail time. Even before you're convicted. Anybody want to crank up the Soviet national anthem real quick? So today, right now, and for the foreseeable future, because the money ain't out there, in response to a nonviolent, let me emphasize that, nonviolent protest, Um, 18-year-old Emma Kate Martin and 23-year-old Ben Bryant, as a function of their nonviolent protest in Boone County at the Boone County headquarters of Massey Energy today, they were arrested by the Boone County Sheriff's deputies. They were charged with trespassing, conspiracy, obstruction, and littering. This is beginning to sound like something out of out of Alice's restaurant, but it's true. Well, they left garbage near their protest site. That's what Sheriff Deputy Chad Barker says. They left garbage near their protest site. Run, Forrest, run. Trespassing, conspiracy, obstruction, and littering. All of them misdemeanors, okay? Every last one of them misdemeanors. Are we square on this? Good. Magistrate Porter Snodgrass, who has elevated miscarriage of justice in the state of West Virginia to full-out abortion of justice in West Virginia, set the bond for these dangerous criminals at $100,000 apiece. Cash, please. $100,000 apiece for nonviolent crimes. Of course, you know, it's just another day here in West Virginia. West Virginia, where it's all open for bidding it, if you happen to be engaged in the bidding it of blowing up mountains, burying streams, killing communities, eliminating them, and poisoning people. Then West Virginia is open for bidding it. A little social justice? Not so much. Magistrate Porter Snodgrass, whom I'm not sure even has anything much more. I don't know what he has in the way of an education. I can guarantee you he does not have a legal education. But see, this is one of those failings in the judicial process, because he did what he did, even though it's probably illegal, and he should probably be removed from office and kept from judging ever again another case. But what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? Not much, unless you get somebody from the Supreme Court to intervene. But, of course, on the Supreme Court, we have a bunch of pro-coal people who don't see any problem in putting young people away without, you know, putting them in prison on charges that can't even carry more than a year in jail. So barring their ability to raise $100,000 apiece. And, you know, Porter Snodgrass didn't just come up with this. This wasn't Porter's idea. Porter is not that sharp. You know, this is happening in Boone County. It's happening in Kanawha County. It's happening in Raleigh County. And it's all happening the same way. You can't tell me that there aren't whispers being whispered in little magistrate ears. We'll run these tree huggers out of here. Just put a couple of them in the pokey on a high bond for a little while and watch them dry up and blow away. Yeah. So, right. Let's say you slap your wife, guys. Not that you would. But let's say domestic violence. Is that guy's bond going to be 100 large? No, he will be put on he will be given an injunction to stay away from the victim, and he will be turned loose probably on his own recognizance. It happens every day in West Virginia. But accused child molester, and this has really happened, walks on a lower bond than what two nonviolent protesters got. An accused child molester. Hello? Child molester? If you want to find out more about it, you can go to climategroundzero.org. Climategroundzero.org. And you will see the story there. Climategroundzero.org. Maybe you think that this isn't a national story. I'm telling you that it is. I'm absolutely certain that it is. Because, frankly, if this isn't a national story, then neither were similar miscarriages and abortions of justice in the Deep South during the civil rights struggle of the 1960s. They've got a legal team on it, but you know it takes time to it takes time to prepare writs and briefs and filings. Meanwhile, these two young people who should have been caught and released on their own recognizance, none of them have a history of flight or being a danger to anyone. That's why you put high bonds on people, to make it difficult for them to get out of jail, and if they do get out, to have a whole lot riding on their compliance because you think that they are sufficiently dangerous. This is disgusting. This is truly, truly sickening. So, you know, spread this around. If you're on Facebook, put it on Facebook. If you tweet, tweet this. Tweet this until Porter Snodgrass can't walk down the street without somebody hollering, "Hey, look, that's that freak who does abortions of justice and puts $100,000 bonds on young people who weren't even violent in their protest." Do that. That's a bit of a mouthful. But really, this is a chance to do activist stuff. It costs you nothing. Do you tweet? Tweet this. Abortion of justice in the coal fields, and link to the climategroundzero.org story about this bond. This is mind-boggling. Unless you understand all the way down to the ground the absolute sickening stranglehold that the right wing, which means the coal industry, because the coal industry is right wing. There are no liberal coal companies. Do you really? This is incomprehensible unless people begin to learn about the stranglehold that the right-wing coal industry has on the state of West Virginia. There are no pro-coal liberals. Okay? There aren't. Because anybody who's liberal has a conscience. Anybody who is liberal has morals and ethics, and you cannot be in favor of mountaintop removal if you have either of those, any of it. I'll draw that line in the sand, by God. I will. There is no such thing as a pro-mountaintop removal liberal. You show me one, I'll scratch the surface, and I'll find the sickening little conservative that lives beneath its skin. So that's our Moran nominee number one for tonight. We have more. And like I said, you know, there's different classes of Morans. There's mean-ass Morans like Porter Snodgrass. Jesus, he sounds like he ought to be the guy who did this dumbass thing. Porter Snodgrass. I mean, does he have a mustache to twirl? Does he wear a top hat and a cape? I'll get you, my pretty. This time I'll tie you to the railroad tracks real good. Well, my border doesn't talk like that. Border Snodgrass. Mean-ass Moran nominee for this Monday. But there, no, we have other nominees, without a doubt. We have, well, we got a whole passel of, now this isn't coming from the mean-ass Moran contingent, this comes from the dumbass Moran contingent. I want to offer you the words of one Debbie Schlussel. Schlussel. That's where you go, yeah, you drive to the Schlussel cutoff and you get out and you cut off your Schlussel. No, Debbie Schlussel, wingnut.
It's a sad day in America, but a very predictable one, given the politically correct Islamo-pandering climate in which we're mired.
What's she upset about, friends and neighbors? Did a terrorist move in next to her? Did she catch someone eating falafel? As opposed to scrubbing someone down with it like Bill O'Reilly wanted to do. What is Debbie Schlussel? Schlussel? What's Debbie Schlussel upset about? Well, by God, she's upset about Miss USA! What's America come and do when our Miss USA...
The Hezbollah-supporting Shiite Muslim Miss Michigan, Rima Faki, whose bid for the pageant was financed by an Islamic terrorist and immigration fraud perpetrator, won the Miss USA contest. I was on top of this story before anyone, telling you about who Faki is and her extremist and deadly ties!
Jesus, that impression almost sounded like Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but that's what I imagine Debbie Schlussel must sound like. Because you know how it is with right-wing talkers. Most of them have no business on the air. You know, you got Mark Levin with a voice made for print. And then you've got a Debbie Schlussel. And who's that? Who's the, she bills herself as a lesbian, gun-owning, feminist conservative. And she sounds like she gargles razor blades. So I can only imagine that Debbie Schlussel sounds something like that. Yeah. Yeah, Miss USA. Is a terrorist. They're coming unglued, the wingnuts are. I tell you, unglued.
Rima Faki!
And maybe I'm not saying the name right. I'm not trying to be cute. I just don't know. You know, she's of mixed Lebanese Christian Muslim ancestry. So what? I don't care. Yeah, Rima
Faki, Miss Michigan, USA.
Who is this? Who's saying this? This is from Give Us Liberty. Give us libertarians. Rima Faki, Miss Michigan, USA, who will compete in Sunday night's pageant broadcast on NBC, is a Dearbornistan Shiite Muslim! Dearbornistan? Is that anything like Alabama-stan? Appalachistan? Oh, well.
Is a Dearbornistan Shiite Muslim who is a supporter of Hezbollah and used the pageant name at a forum promoting Islamic subjugation of women.
See, that's why she's wandering around in a swimsuit on television. Yeah, because it's right.
She was born in the Hezbollah stronghold of Sarifa in South Lebanon, which Israel was forced to attack in the 2006 Israeli-Hezbollah war because it was a site of Hezbollah weaponry.
See how it works? You take a geographic location that had some guns in it, and the next thing you know, Miss USA is a Hezbollah, blah, blah.
Intelligence sources confirm that at least three of Faki's relatives are currently top officials in Hezbollah, and that at least eight Faki family members were Hezbollah terrorists killed by the Israelis in past Israeli-Lebanese wars. Of course, any
Lebanese person who was ever killed by any Israeli was claimed by the Israelis to have been a terrorist because they only kill terrorists. And if Israeli weaponry lands on you, you are because they have terrorist-seeking missiles, you see. Some of her family members were originally in Harakat Amal, the Shiite Amal militia, which is now essentially part of Hezbollah. There's a reason that even Al-Manar TV, Hezbollah's official TV network, is high on Faki in the U.S. Miss USA pageant. Oh, it goes on and on and on. These people, the right... Well, you know how it works. They don't have to do facts the right way. They don't have to do... honesty. Mm-mm. All they have to do is lie and just make crap up. Should have seen this coming, except for the fact that I don't pay for or watch the Miss USA pageant. I just don't. You know, if I want to do that, I'll go back and watch Miss Congeniality. You know, Sandra Bullock, it just all sort of, that movie just sort of encapsulates it all for me. And your question, contestant number three, what would be your idea of the perfect date? Well, my idea of the perfect date would be about April the 25th. You know, it's not too cold, it's not too hot, and you only need a light jacket. Now, of course, the Debbie Schlussel. Go to the Schlussel cutoff. Get out of your car and cut off your Schlussel. Debbie Schlussel is now trying to smear Miss Rima Faki because apparently she won a radio station's contest for fully clothed pole dancing. And Miss Schlussel, has also learned some Arabic words that she can slime Rima Faki with. She says, this low-class pageant contestant, now that's just over the top. It's one thing to criticize her for being Muslim, but why do you have to always be bringing class into it again? She's simply a sharmuta. Yeah, I guess sharmuta is Arabic for slut. Disgusting. Watch though. This thing's gonna take off like you cannot believe. And Debbie Schlussel is trying to make a career out of this by alleging that Donald Trump rigged the Miss USA pageant so that the terrorist could win.
It's a sad day in America, but a very predictable one, given the politically correct Islamo-pandering climate in which we're mired. The Hezbollah-supporting Shiite Muslim Miss Michigan, Rima Faki, whose bid for the pageant was financed by an Islamic terrorist and immigration fraud perpetrator, won the Miss USA contest. No, it's not just another beauty pageant, Donald Trump. Muslims who mostly support Islamic terrorist groups like Hezbollah, which features many of Faki's close relatives as top officials, and even Barack Obama will exploit this as propaganda for Islam.
See how she even did? Yeah, she works Barack Hussein Obama back into there. God, these guys are good.
Mark my words. Hezbollah is laughing at us tonight. One of its auxiliary members won the Miss USA title without having to do a thing to denounce them and their bloody murder of hundreds of Americans. I don't just wonder if this whole contest is rigged. I have a feeling that it is. Clearly, there is affirmative action for Muslim women in beauty pageants and other such contests.
Man, it may be a little bit difficult to stay out of tequila tonight. Juanita pointing out, Debbie Schlussel, whatever, another blonde miniskirt-wearing right-winger, her difference, she's Jewish and speaks for all Jews. She's another one I used to see on Bill Maher's show, Politically Incorrect, says Juanita. Yeah, you gotta love that speaks for, you know, anybody who sets out to speak for every, for all of anything, you know, you've got a native right to be suspicious of them. So, that's two nominees. Do you have any nominees? I have a feeling it's going to be a fun little Monday evening. Chime right in. You know the phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. It's 304-658-3333. And email rolls in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. It's all that easy. If you've never been in the chat room before, that's free and easy, too. Head on RadioNetwork.com, click on chat room. There you are. Got a nice room full of people. Add to the psychic weight of the experience this evening if you'd care to. We'll be back with your calls. Light them up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Drives a new car, wears expensive blouses. She tells her mama she's cleaning houses. She goes out witnessing, doing the Lord's work all week. But on the weekend, she's making ends meet. Johnny, the Jehovah's Witness stripper. Put a dollar in her G-string and she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Johnny, the Jehovah's Witness stripper. One night down at the club, her daddy walked in. Didn't recognize his daughter dancing. She wore a blonde wig. He had sunglasses. When she got naked, he started clapping. Darn it, the Jehovah's Witness stripper. Put a dollar in her G-string. And she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Don't it, the Jehovah's Witness stripper. I'm gonna try solo. You ask her why she does it. She looks at it this way. She says, I'm counting my blessings every night when I get paid. She once lived in poverty and now everything's all right. The Lord showed her how to make $1,000 a night. Darn it, the Jehovah's Witness stripper. Put a dollar in her G-string and she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Johnny, the Jehovah's Witness stripper.
Yeah, you gotta love that because, well, that's what the right wing's trying to do to Rima Fakhy, who is a beautiful young woman. She's gorgeous. Try these on for size. I already mentioned Debbie Schlissel. But how about Michelle Malkin? There's a hateful critter.
Fakhy's cheerleaders are too busy tooting the identity politics horn to care what comes out of her mouth. The Miss USA pageant didn't want to risk the wrath of the open borders mob.
See, what they're doing is they're saying that, what was it, Miss Oklahoma, apparently a wingnut, who answered a question of praising that hate-filled piece of garbage legislation in Arizona, SB 1070.
They had to get her out of the way. That's, you know, this...
Because Daniel Pipes, who is a professional Muslim hater,
He said, this surprising frequency of Muslims winning beauty pageants makes me suspect an odd form of affirmative action.
Really? I mean, I don't keep up with that many of the pageants, but is it just wall-to-wall Muslim women now? Just everywhere? Because I'm kind of, I miss that. Because Miss Oklahoma was a flippin' wingnut. And so Michelle Malkin said this had to be done to keep the open borders mob at bay. Gretchen Carlson on Phony News said that Miss Oklahoma, named a woman named Woolard, that her informed opinion may have cost her the crown, and that Faki won the contest because we live in a PC society. See, remember, whenever you catch a wingnut complaining about
PC, politically correct,
whenever you got to remember what that means. They're still mad because we won't let them call people racial epithets anymore. That's what that's about.
It's we can't say the N-word or the towelhead word or diaperhead or raghead or sand N-word. We can't say any of that anymore because we live in a politically correct society.
Jesus. All right, so let's go to the phones. Light them up if you want to. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. I think with PC, those people would prefer it to mean privileged characters. That's what they think they are.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, there's a saying, they think they don't stink.
Absolutely. I just wanted to tell you, I took a shot at Fox News this weekend, and they did not like it at all.
Oh, good.
I asked them this was an email, and I basically asked them if they'd ever seen that film, The Clash of the Titans. Have you ever seen that movie?
The one with Harry Hamlin?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of claymation.
Yeah. Remember the Stygian witches?
Yes.
Those old three women who only had one eye between them.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. That's what you people have. You're like the Stygian witches. You only have one brain, and I can't tell which one of you is using it.
Or not.
Exactly. Oh, Lord, those people. They sent back an email asking me not to bother them again.
Oh, then do please bother them. Feel free.
Well.
Who are these goons?
Those three idiots that are on every morning, you know, Steve Doocy.
Oh, Fox and Friends?
Mm-hmm. Fox and Fiends.
That's it.
That's it, absolutely. And so, you know, they are, in my opinion, and I heard this on C-SPAN Sunday morning, one caller had called in. And he was discussing the role of Fox News and the politics of this country. But they are one of the most divisive forces, in my opinion, in this country, period, on the air. I mean, I have never seen such spin that they take. I mean, even Don Imus has, from time to time, and I don't watch him that often, a few humorous instances, you know. And he can be as big an a-hole as ever was.
Sure.
On the movies, and, you know, depending on what kind of problem he's got, whether it's his prostate or whether he can't breathe or whatever, and whether he's got Bodil on there. But even he can have a few humorous moments. But, God, these people at Fox, I don't know where they find these idiots. And some of their foreign or their correspondents, my God, have you ever heard some of the drivel that comes out of their mouths?
Oh yeah, yes. I mean, it's lunacy, pure lunacy.
Well, with those people.
Well, no. I was going to say,
it's a full moon, and they must get out in that thing, and maybe that's what's got them going. But, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it, but they are a very divisive element in this country. They really are. I mean, it's typical. I don't think Joseph Goebbels or Lord Haw Haw, whoever, in World War II could have done better than these people, you know?
Well, they operate on the same, philosophical plane, if you will?
I call it the big lie.
Yeah, that's because that's what it is. If you're going to tell a lie, make it a whopper, and tell it so often and so loudly that eventually it will become the truth. And that's what these people do professionally.
Exactly.
I mean, look at what's her name? One of the attack blondes on Fox. This woman comes off. She tries her best to play the bimbo because that's what works with the demographic at Fox. But the fact that, but the woman's magna cum laude from Stanford. You know, and you know, you don't get magna cum laude from Stanford just by popping a quarter in a gumball machine.
No, I don't think so. Oh, they're sublimely clever in, you know, their approach to things and the way they appeal to people.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly. Yeah, that's her. Megyn Kelly.
That's her. You got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people, even though they may act like idiots, they can come forth with some of the most outrageous crap. And, you know, their listeners take it for gospel.
Because they've been manipulated. See, that's the trick with Fox, you know, not news. I hate calling Fox News because that's not what they do. That's just a brand name, like Velveeta. There's no velvet in Velveeta. It's just Fox News. It's a brand name. But what they do is Rupert Murdoch set out to create a TV channel that would play directly to the bigotries and the prejudices and the fears, because those are all three very easy to leverage, the pre-existing bigotries, fears, and prejudices of apparently a whole bunch of Americans who were open to it. So, boom. And you know, it's instantaneously successful to a certain extent because people want that stuff reinforced.
Yeah, I guess they do. I mean, you know, people like to be negative, and they like, there's something inherently about them, and these people feed on the negativity and just the baser elements of humanity. That's exactly it. And Rupert Murdoch, what an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
What a bleeding asshole that man is. I mean, how old is he?
Apparently not old enough yet to go on and meet his maker.
It's history. I mean, do you know anything about some of the stuff?
Oh, yeah. I do. And you know, just this weekend we saw another example of the hypocrisy appearing on Fox News, Jim. That word. Newt Gingrich showed up.
Oh, God.
To criticize. Let me see if I've got this right. He showed up on Fox News, whose largest minority owner is a member of the Saudi royal family, okay?
Okay.
So he showed up on Fox News to criticize Harvard University, for accepting money from the Saudis. So here's a guy whose salary is paid in part by Saudis criticizing a university for taking donations from Saudis, and his head didn't explode, and all the little nodding, drooling, house helmet wearing Fox viewers went, "That's right, Newt, you're a patriot. Hallelujah, praise Jesus."
It takes a real patriot to be married to a woman who's diagnosed with breast cancer and ask her for a divorce just before she's even come out from under the anesthesia as he did his first wife.
Sure,
the real man that asshole is.
Oh yeah, and to be out there going hammer and tongs at Bill Clinton at the same time that he's going hammer and tongs at his own intern. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, even Bill Clinton at the height of the Monica Lewinsky thing, his ratings were over 70% favorable.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and by the way, David in Tennessee reminding me that Rupert's in his early 80s, and his mother lived to be over 100 if she's not still living. So,
oh boy,
we may have Rupert for a while.
Well, I'm sure Rupert's a multi-billionaire.
I think, yeah, I was going to say, I think there's a Bible verse, the Rupert ye have always with ye.
I know. I named my cat Rupert, but it sure as hell wasn't after him. It was after Rupert Brooke, the English poet who was killed in World War I. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe I've done the wrong thing here. Because I literally despise that son of a bitch. I'm going to roll tonight. Excuse me. Excuse the trash pile.
That's all right. That's all right, Jim. Don't sweat it.
These people just contribute to so much bad everything. And they're trying to divide this country. And, you know, they're trying to destroy anything that, like, for example, that President Obama is doing. And Obama let him have it this weekend. Did you hear what he had to say?
No, I didn't.
He said, you know, you people have been driving this car for 8 years, and the car is in the ditch. And I've been trying to get it out of the ditch. But then you people have tried everything you can to keep me from doing what I want to do to get the car out of the ditch. And then you want the keys.
Yeah, we like the ditch. The ditch is good.
And I say to you, no, you can't have them. And that's exactly what's been going on, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I would, you know, I wish...
trying to blame that poor man for everything in the world. And he has been as conciliatory, much more conciliatory than I would ever have been.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the whole thing. You know, let's go for the whole enchilada here, Jim. I mean, I would like to see Barack Obama actually be a liberal.
And, I would too.
And start doing some of the things that desperately need to be done and solving problems that can only be solved with real liberal policies. Not these half measures and this precious toe dancing that he has a tendency to do with the right wing and acting like they want to govern in good faith. They're throat slitters. They are highwaymen. They are cut purses and scoundrels. They are rakes and rogues. And yes. Pretending that they're not, Jim, doesn't make them any less so.
Oh, they're horrible people. They are. And, you know, they promote their own agenda of misinformation, of hate, and they're angry because they have a black president. That's one of the things that that's one of their betting wires right there. And that's just what they are. And, of course, you know, the NRA had its convention this weekend.
Yeah, I was loving that. They didn't allow guns in their sessions.
Oh, I wish they would.
I do, too.
I knew guns and whiskey and maybe some mescaline and some peyote. Or
don't forget the ether.
Whatever. Whatever they'd like. Just tuck it right in there. And they had the Queen of Outer Space, that title passed from Zsa Gabor to Sarah Palin. She was there as one of the keynote speakers. And,
oh, of course she was. By golly, you betcha.
Don't you love her style of speaking? I mean, every time I hear that woman talk for more than like a minute.
I know, and you know,
I have to go to the bathroom. I mean, I just get this instant case of diarrhea.
Oh, she gives me the phantods.
I mean, she is the best laxative on 2 feet that I've ever seen. I am being horrible tonight. I better get off this telephone.
You're a bad man, Jim.
And don't forget that email I sent you.
Oh, I won't. I won't.
Would you mention that to the followers of the whatever?
Yes.
About the, the Sister Act over in...
Yeah, I've got that in my open tabs here because it's a beauty. We might as well share it with folks.
Well, I wish you would. I mean, all due respect to the Mother Superior, that convent, but, I mean, she must be a right-on girl. That's all I can say.
I bet they can say a Hail Mary faster than any other nuns on earth.
Well, all that Peruvian prayer powder, so there it is.
Yep, that's what, Peruvian prayer powder.
Well, listen, I'm not making a whole lot of sense tonight, and I apologize, but I hope you have a good show, and I missed you Friday. I don't know what happened. I was... I missed the first part of this program.
Yeah, Friday I was on, but Thursday was, I think it was Thursday that everything went sideways.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that everything will keep itself in proper order.
Right.
You
yeah.
have a good night and enjoy your show.
Thanks, Jim. You take care.
Yes, sir.
Bye now. What Jim refers to, a convent in Milan. This is just one of those great, great moments in the church. It's just too much to be believed. No, there's a convent in Milan, and they were recently busted. No, really. Story datelined May 13th. Police say they've busted a drug ring in northern Italy where South American smugglers posed as religious pilgrims and snuck cocaine into a Catholic convent hidden in their prayer books. This is the punchline. All unbeknownst to the nuns living there.
Sister Hermetica, you're looking particularly energetic this morning. Who I am!
The convent janitor. Yeah, the janitor did it. The convent janitor is the alleged mastermind of the ring. He organized religious pilgrimage for South American drug cartel members who disguised themselves as pious visitors and then snuck Peruvian prayer powder into the convent, hidden in their luggage and their prayer books. The nuns were, completely unaware of what he was up to, police told the BBC. This is 66 pounds of cocaine. Oh, they were just one more. If it had been 666 pounds of cocaine, this would be worldwide news. It's been 3 years they've been secretly investigating this convent. Delightful. Just delightful. Oh, sister. Yeah. It's another one of those Hunter Thompson moments. Never mind about the bats. The nuns will be seeing them soon enough. Bats in the belfry, anyone? Huh. Let's keep things rolling, see if... What's going on? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Ah, so many things to yell at, so little time.
So many wingnuts, so little show.
You kind of got me ahead of there with the new Miss USA because I had a couple of moments to check the front page of the paper and I was like, oh boy, as soon as I saw it. And then I realized, wow, she's kind of falling out of her skirt there. Oh, that'll also get them upset.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it looks kind of like gravity is starting to kick in, if you know what I mean.
Ew.
At least on the AP photo, it seems to be distributing out there.
Rearranging itself in accordance with the laws of gravity. There we go. That's what we're trying to get at. Yes.
Yeah. Also, we have to... In Nevada here, or at least in Clark County, it was the day that the simple ballots come out. You'll like this one. They have color-coded for each of the parties, Republican, Democrat, and the non-party, nonpartisans. Nonpartisan is a neutral white.
Okay.
A Democrat is blue. Republican is yellow.
No.
Yes. I swear to God, I'm going to have to take a picture of it.
Well, on the one hand, you think...
on my Facebook wall.
On the one hand, Garrett, you think, you know, that's... because they are. You know, Republicans are yellow.
Yeah.
They could talk a good patriotic game, but they don't play one very well.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, that could very well be... vote here now. You know, I'm surprised it's not blaze orange. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because between those three, white versus blue versus yellow, the yellow's going to grab you.
Yeah, well, the yellow's a pretty weak yellow, just as the Democrat yellow is a baby blue. But the fact that it's yellow just it struck me as like, you know, because instead of like a red.
Yeah.
You know, which would make sense to me, but nope, it's the yellow. I was like, oh my God.
Some days it's tough to get, some days it's just tough to get through, isn't it, Garrett?
Yeah, and also, we need the Big Ten for their little mega super conference thing.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy. Now there's also a story that the Mountain West Conference is going to expand.
You know, this thing, they're going to do this until they destroy the game completely.
Well, yeah, because the Mountain West Conference is worried. They're like, I think we're going to try for, they're like, we might try for Boise State, who's in the WAC.
Right.
I know, which the WAC would be upset because as it stands, the core members of the Mountain West Conference all were in the WAC.
Yeah, that was one of the early implosions was when the WAC came unglued and became the WAC and the Mountain West.
Yeah. I mean, basically Mountain West got all the good schools, really. I mean, got BYU, got Utah. At the time, Utah was a power in football and especially in basketball. Got UNLV, who's the biggest city of the lot and where they host the basketball tournament every year.
Right.
And let's see. Yeah, they got, I think... Colorado State, yeah. Colorado State was big in football at that point. I think New Mexico and a couple others were kind of like marginal, but they got all the best schools.
Yeah, from the
and
football
now, if they
standpoint.
Were Boise State, the WAC would be done.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned New Mexico. It's worth remembering that Lobos actually stands for Lose Our Butts on Saturday.
Yes. Now, I mean, I think at the time it was an issue that, I mean, they've been competitive in basketball, but the football team.
Oh, that's a hell of a place to play basketball, the Pit. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. But
brutal.
Oh, but yeah, it's going to destroy it because you know that the Big Ten is going to, I mean, first off, they're eating at the, as you said, they're eating at the Big 12, and the way you put it, Missouri is a goner. They'll go to the Big Ten easy.
Yeah, I mean, that would actually make kind of sense because, you know, you got Iowa, you know, why not? And so that, but they still got to come up with two more to make themselves a full 14-team, you know, conference so that they can have themselves a playoff and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't see them getting Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the pressure's on, but, dude, that football money of having that football contract is so good. And especially since...
Yeah, but would NBC be interested? And, I mean, it's not exactly making hand over fist for NBC anymore.
Yeah, but the thing is that what do they have? I don't know. The contract is still active for a few more years. I think it's like 2014 or something like that.
Yeah, it's as long term as it gets.
Yeah, because NBC was doing it when they were riding. They extended it to high heaven when they were kind of riding high.
But what you see here, Garrett, I think, is the herd behavior that kicks in with these situations. And let me reiterate. This is microcosmic. Of the way a lot of the dysfunction in other areas of this country. So you hear rumors that the Big Ten's gonna expand, so necessarily everybody else in the herd has to get in line and start doing themselves. So, you know, what you're talking about with the WAC and the Mountain West, there's been rumors of the SEC and the Big East is out there going, just please don't tear us to pieces again.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, they're only going after Rutgers, but if the Big Ten was kind of smart, they would kind of think about, you know, well, UConn and Georgetown are a little bit too east, but, you know, if they wanted to kill the Big East, they could go after UConn, which has great basketball.
Oh, without a doubt, a growingly respectable football program. But, you know, the thing that's important to remember here, as David in Tennessee is reminding me, is that most college ADs, you know, athletic directors, never played football or basketball or coached it. And they're not going to stop until there are four 16-team Uber conferences, and then the remainders who are left on the outside looking in. Now, as far as Notre Dame is concerned, this is worth remembering. Notre Dame, right now, TV contract, no TV contract, right now, Notre Dame gets less by about $6 or $7 million than any Big Ten team. You can suck hind teat and be Indiana, and you're still making $6 to $7 million a year, $6 to $7 million more than Notre Dame.
Oh wow!
You don't even have to win.
Yeah, that's a good financial reason for them doing it, because I mean, the ADs, they're basically fanboys. They're like your good old fashioned comic book or fanboys for any genre that are just ultra nerds and don't really have any real world application of it, and they don't realize that. Well, I never play. They don't realize that the fact that they've never played has, you know, kind of paints their insight on the game, on the games that they basically run the decisions for.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the perfect.
But this is, you know, but this is this whole thing is a perfect model. Is a perfect model for the kind of predatory klepto-capitalism that the eight miserable, well, that republicanism in general fosters. It is self-consuming. It will destroy itself. It is unsustainable.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a shocker that they held them, that the NCAA held itself back and only expanded it to 68 teams.
Yeah.
So that basically there's a play-in game for all of the 416 seats.
Yeah, that was a surprising act of restraint, really. Yeah, David in Tennessee pointing out that athletic directors today are all MBAs that never got the girl. And that's about the size of it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Garrett, I'm gonna roll along. I'd love to. I can't shoot me a note when you put the thing up on the Facebook. I want to see that little yellow Republican. Jesus. Who did that?
Yeah.
You need to do some investigative journalism and find out who's responsible.
Who knows? But also, we need to mention Ronnie James Dio passed away yesterday.
Yeah, that was sad. 67 years old.
Cancer, of all things. Horrible way.
Yeah. And sadly, I don't have any good music of his to run, so darn. It would have been nice. But yeah, I saw that, and it made me sad because, man, what a screamer he was.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You get all these eras in music where they, you know, there's the arguing back and forth, which is the better era. I think, you know, this, of course, being the Sabbath with Dio, it's really, I think that's probably the difference between. I mean, Dio was definitely the better singer, but I think the difference in terms of the prominence and just the, you know, the effect is probably the most evenly matched of the eras, I would say. It's not like, you know, like the eras of Van Halen or Pink Floyd where you can kind of tell.
Yeah, what is the
commercial differences.
Yeah, what was it? Stone Cold, was that the song? Ronnie James Dio and Rainbow got a lot of airplay on MTV back when MTV played videos. Was that it?
I think so. Let's see. I know that Holy Diver got some airplay. I mean, they even made a video game out of that in Japan.
Oh, no, I had no idea.
Yeah, weird.
Well, maybe I can find somewhere along the way. Somebody will send me a Ronnie James Dio track to run, and we can do that in his remembrance. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Garrett. Have yourself a great evening.
You too, Bob.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from Vegas. That's our buddy Garrett, and onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program,
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Listen, so just to continue with the the sports talk. I really can't resist, but this rumor out of Cleveland, have you heard about it?
Yeah, that John Calipari and LeBron James are a package deal?
No. This is far more sleazier.
Oh, there's more.
LeBron James' mother slept with LaDante West.
No.
Yes, and that's why he was acting all crazy.
Oh, my God.
So he's 26. His mother is 41. I was rolling. I mean, it's only a rumor, but I just thought it was cheesy. And
oh, that's cheesy. That's just,
you know?
That's everything we could possibly need it to be.
That's what I'm saying. So I was just like, are you kidding me? So, yeah.
But, you know, in the sleazy department, John Calipari, this idea that he, did you see this? That he and LeBron are being shopped as a package deal to places like Chicago?
I know, I saw that. That's a bit weird. I mean, Calipari would go with him to New York, too, or just Chicago?
No, the theory is that Wesley or something like that, is shopping the idea to Chicago. The Nets, who are now, since they're owned by a Russian billionaire known as the Nets, and the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers, yeah. Apparently, aren't they supposed to be trying to have some sort of parade down in L.A. for LeBron to come or something ridiculous? But I can't even hear any more about the dude. But that little rumor, I just thought, oh, no, that's heck of sleep.
Yeah, David's plugged in, and he's telling me now, yeah, Sandra's not kidding. It was wall to bedpost all over sports radio.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, no, that's terrible, but sleazy.
You know, one of these days we're going to come up with the perfect sports scandal storm, and it'll, you know, if only LeBron could drive NASCAR, too. You know, it would be perfect.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is pretty bad. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. And, of course, you know, I tie it back to when he told his mother to shut up. Maybe he might want to rethink that.
Yeah, I'll show him.
Because he has got to tow his ass up, if this is true, because that ain't nothing nice. I mean, it's like, what is he, 41? I mean, you know, hey, I guess she got her needs, but all of it just is so sleazy. And that, wherever his West, I don't know if it was Deonte West or whatever, but you know about him, right? That fool was riding around a motorcycle with a big gun strap looking like something from that Mel Gibson movie, The Thunderdome.
Oh, God.
And he got pulled over by the pigs. They said, you know, you can't roll with huge rifles.
Yeah, I was going to say, can't roll with a howitzer on your hip.
Well, it was that kind of party. I mean, he obviously didn't go to jail, but it was just like, he crazy. So it's sort of, you know, I mean, you can imagine. It's funny when those stories come out because you know all that professional sports, it's all nasty. You know what I mean?
Sure it is.
It's beyond nasty. So when these little ones slip out, I'm always amazed.
Well,
we don't hear more.
Yeah, the whole Sports Illustrated article about Ben Roethlisberger was like a crime novel.
Oh, no, that fool walking around exposing himself. I mean, he nasty. You know, they all nasty.
Yeah, the fight, you know, this guy makes how many million dollars a year, and he's having it out with the doorman at a margarita bar in Pittsburgh over a $5 cover?
Yeah, no, they're all, I mean, they're disgusting. I mean, I'm sort of, that's why when people get all bent out of shape, I'm thinking, well, I mean, what are they doing? You know what I mean? It's not like they're discovering, you know, world peace. You know what I mean?
Or the fuel of the future.
I sort of like, I don't care. I just find it all really kind of funny because they're being paid that much, which is a whole bunch, people feel like they need to be in line. You know, and I'm like, well, no. You give people that much money and you say, have at it. What the hell else is going to happen in this country where all you see is if you cheat, you're good? You know what I mean? There's no real reason for anyone to be shocked. And I'm always appalled when people because it's like, where are you living? You know?
Right. And by the way, just to pass the compliment along, you just slayed David. The he nasty completely destroyed him.
Well.
And yeah, and he adds, ain't even half of no LeBron going to fit in no NASCAR ride. That's why the white boys driving him are all midgets.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Kind of creates an image of LeBron's head sort of sticking through the roof like one of those little midget go-karts.
Shut up. I mean, yeah. It's
beautiful thing.
No way. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, that one was just killing me. I really had to pass it on because I just thought, oh, my goodness, you know?
And you're wondering which side was the vengeance? You know what I mean? Or maybe it was just perfect mutual vengeance.
Well, who knows? I mean, the thing about it, it's a bit, you know, if you look at it from afar, which is obviously all we can do, the sort of passive aggressiveness of it is just triple fold, don't you think?
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Because it's like Delonte West, you know, everyone's at the beck and call of this LeBron James, apparently. You know, you see Mr. Teese, he coaches scared. Everybody's scared of this fool. So when stuff manifests itself like that, you can't help but think, oh, well, you know, you can always step on people's neck. They get back at you one way or another, you know?
True enough. And, you know, Marty adding in, hey, this is America. We applaud and support cheaters, except when we're not supposed to.
Oh, shut up. That's a good one. Yeah, right. You know.
Stepping from this into, you know, you mentioning, you know, the cruising around on your Harley with your howitzer strapped to your side. A much sadder story, a tragic story, this thing coming out of Detroit. Are you following this, Sandra, about this 7-year-old that was blown away by the Detroit police?
Oh, no, that is so disgusting. I was like, hello? And I was also disturbed by, wonder what, now you throw grenades in before you, I mean, what's that about, Bob?
Yeah, what are they calling it? They threw in a...
some sort of, I mean, these are people's homes, right?
Yes.
What the F? To me, when those stories come out, you know that's like exponentially going on.
And see, the thing is, there's video out now that shows a completely differing story.
Oh, there's video.
Yeah. It was shot, the A&E show, The First 48, it's a crime reality show. It shows police firing into the home at least once after they lob in the flash grenade through a window.
Well, wait a minute, some show film? Oh, why? Because they were looking for some murderer and they were documenting it for a show?
Yeah, because this all had to do with trying to catch somebody who killed a 17-year-old young man. So they killed a 7-year-old, so now all they have to do is kill a 10-year-old and it's all even.
Well, no, but was this a case of the wrong house?
I don't know if it was wrong house, but, you know, they were just... Sandra, they threw a flash grenade through a window.
That's what I'm saying. No, that stopped me cold right there. I'm like, where the hell are we? Beirut? You know, what the hell?
Well, you know, if you take Debbie Schlussel to heart, yeah, we are, because, you know, we've got a Muslim Miss USA from Dearbornistan. She called it that. Dearbornistan.
You know what? Beyond that dumb bitches, that's just beyond. I was dying when I heard that someone from Dearborn won. Because as soon as I heard that, I said, oh, snap, that's a good one. I'm sorry. It's funny. Come on. Only in America, this place is so schizophrenic and fractured, they can't even keep up the rules. I mean, home chick is not Miss America. That shit is funny on so many levels. It's great.
And
white people's heads are exploding all over the place. They don't know what to do. Negro in the White House, now there's some sand Negro that's a Miss America. What are they going to do?
World coming apart.
Yes!
You may have just landed on it, Sandra. You may have just walked right onto it. You know what we're experiencing?
Yeah, well,
and people with a sense and knowledge of film or whatever, seen of whatever, we are having our national, I mean national, guess who's coming to dinner moment.
No, it's
what is Miss USA?
Oh, shit. You know
and
what?
That, really, in the White House? No.
Right, it's all around. Surrounding.
I mean, see, it's moments like this that I desperately want to believe in an afterlife because I'd like to, I would hire a psychic to channel George Wallace just to get his take. You know what
oh,
I mean? You know, let's tap into hell real quick and see what Lester Maddox thinks.
Yes. No, I mean, there's so many who I would just love to press their face against the window so they have a look-see. You're right about that shit. That's funny. But at the same time, we still have Miss Idiot talking about we're all Arizonians now or whatever she's saying.
Yeah. Miss Oklahoma?
God, no. I thought that was Payson. No, this... Oh, there was another one?
Oh, well, no, that's the whole Miss USA controversy now. The right wing is claiming that the white bread homegirl from Oklahoma got dissed and because she answered the question wrong about SB 1070 in Arizona.
Well, no, you know, hopefully that is the case, because haven't we had enough of these dumbass white teenagers who don't know what the F is going on spewing that bullshit? If that was, I'm glad she didn't get it. I'm sick of them. It's nonstop with those people, one after another.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, well.
Oh, and you'll love this this in from David real quick, responding to my, you know, let's find out what Lester Maddox thinks.
Mm.
David says, what Lester thinks? Oh, just ask Pat Buchanan.
Pat Buchanan had the nerve to criticize all the Jews or potential Jews on the Supreme Court. And I'm like, bitch, what about all the Catholics?
Yeah, they're okay.
You know, it was just like the beyonds with that one. I'm like, huh? You say what? You know, just crazy talk. Straight up crazy talk.
Oh, and by the way, yeah, David, another of our Davids chiming in, David from South Carolina, said, yeah, they were at the wrong side of the duplex, the cops in Detroit. They were at the wrong side of the duplex. They caught the suspect next door. This is, of course, after they shot the 7-year-old.
No, and a 7-year-old shouldn't have been on the couch, right? Of course.
Yeah, see, if she'd been out playing or something.
Right, or something. You know what I mean? No. That is a horror show.
This has background. I mean, I remember when the Supreme Court issued that decision a few years ago, and I think we've talked about this before, that said the cops no longer have to say, hey, it's the cops, before they come bursting through the door?
No, that's right.
And then, what was it, a month or two later, the Atlanta cops came through the door and blew away a 91-year-old granny?
That poor woman, yeah, they shot her up like, you know, 20-odd times.
Yeah, like a rabid dog.
Now you get
the opposite end of that stick. It's a 7-year-old little girl taking a nap.
Oh, no, but somehow...
Because we got to fight crime.
Somehow it's her fault, though. Watch. It'll be morphed into that. Not only that, but when you talk about the Supreme Court decision, that hideous Alito, who also said when he was on the federal bench, it's okay to shoot some teenager in the back.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Right.
So they got, you know.
I know.
And this question.
Welcome to the police state.
Well, and this question mark that Obama picked, I don't expect nothing but the same from her, from what little bitty light information I can read about this.
Yeah, I don't see her ideologically replacing Justice Stevens. I don't see it.
No, but you know, what's his face made? I mean, I'm not a big fan, but he made a good point. He's like, why can't liberals pick a damn liberal?
Yeah, I mean, they've got Alito. Why can't we pick one that is at least as far to the left as he is to the right?
I'm just saying, and it's just like, well, yeah, that is a easy, you know, that's a pretty basic question.
And did you notice that Alito and Thomas and Scalia all threw a hissy today in a dissent to the Supreme Court's ruling that you may no longer lock up somebody for life without parole?
For
offenses committed when they were juveniles.
No. I was surprised that they said that you couldn't. I was expecting them to say, oh, yeah, if they steal candy, you can lock them up forever if they black.
Well, and that's what Alito and Thomas and Scalia said.
Right, because 82% of those are some outrageous statistics. I could be wrong, but hugely high. All them kids are, like, of color. Who are lifers. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And see, I want to, you know, I'd love to see the breakout, because it was a 5-4 decision that Roberts joined in the majority.
Shut up.
And the majority opinion was written by Anthony Kennedy. So you've got 5-4, which means, you know, the usual suspects, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia, the ats in rats.
And who was the other one?
That's what I don't know, and I want to. Because if the other one was, I hope the hell it wasn't, but if the other one was Sonia Sotomayor, I'm gonna be having a fit.
Oh, wait, no, you need to find that out now. What? I wasn't even thinking about that. No way! Shut up. Listen, the other decision is scary, though. The one where they said the executives can, like, you know, hold somebody forever if they're sexual predators, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's scary because it's not, it's like they are determined to give the executive this power over your body in some capacity.
Right.
And I don't care if they do a backdoor like this. That is disturbing, that decision. I was like, oh, shit. Well, that's it. Game over, right?
And it goes back to exactly what you said. Why can't liberals appoint liberals?
Well, no, but see,
that's predicated on Barack Obama being liberal.
Well,
and to be fair, he ain't.
No, but you know, it's just the Supreme Court is just, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be moved to the right because I don't know. This woman seems to be enamored with executive power. And
yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah, okay, so Roberts was, okay, I'm being squared up here by Marty. He says Roberts was one of the four. It was the rats, but he concurred in the opinions thinking that the majority, he wrote a concurring opinion that made it 5-4 somehow or another.
Okay, so Sotomayor was on the other side.
Yeah, maybe, so it would appear she got that. That she got it right, and I don't know what I'm going to do when the,
well, no, but see, it's interesting that you would even go there. To me, it speaks to how, you know, completely you have no faith in these replacements that are being done.
I don't.
That's what it sounds like to me because you were quick to jump there like, I expect this. And that's horrible, Bob. That's horrible because, you know, I feel the same way. I just think all these freaks are just going to be fascists. It's all just going to, they don't have to pull off the robe. It's just all going to be fascist. I mean, who's left? Ginsburg?
Breyer. But see, that's the thing.
Breyer. Well, she's
cancer.
No, Ginsburg has had a history of
pancreatic cancer.
Oh, that's, wow. She's, wow, okay.
So, you know, Barack Obama may get to replace four justices in 4 years.
That's crazy.
But he's only holding back the tides with a teaspoon, because he's not getting to replace Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Scalia, or Kennedy, and those are the five toxic bastards that have got to go.
Yeah, but see who he is replacing though is going to move
the court to the right. Yes,
to the right though.
Yeah,
and it's just really disturbing because when I think about who we, you know, all the people who were appointed, I mean, Republicans appointed them. So it's really scary how right the court is.
Right.
You know?
Republicans get to appoint the hardcore ideologues.
And they appoint the liberals too.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then they tell the Democrats who they will and will not tolerate. By God, I didn't see anybody saying that during the Bush administration.
Oh, no. It was like, if you even take a peep, we're going to eliminate the filibuster. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
I remember the Democrats meekly complying like they do now when they have all the power.
And that's, you know, that's what makes it a little bit frustrating, shall we say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, I was sort of, you know, I was kind of surprised when he picked this chick, because I'm like, what is this? I'm okay with the female, but what happened to Diane, whatever her Hull or whoever she was? There was a woman who sounded perfect.
Yes.
Diane somebody.
And
a judge with a long, long.
But see, that was, you know, that was, that's part of the 11-dimensional chess or whatever. Is that, you know, we've got a nominee in the form of Elena Kagan who has no record. She's a blank slate.
No, but we ain't living in that kind of time. It's serious. I need to know what the hell's going on. I don't want to be hoping and praying and
I get all these right-wing, or all these not, but all these solicitation emails. A lot of people do, and I'm not the only one. And, you know, trust me.
No, dear leader, I'm like, is that what the left or the progress have been reduced to? Because there's people supporting this cow like there's no tomorrow, no questioning. It's like Bush revisited, but the opposite. I don't know anything about her.
No, and you know, the fact that, let's see, Joe Scarborough is the latest one to pull it off, repeating the, you know, she's probably a communist because she wouldn't allow the military to recruit on campus at Harvard.
Oh, as soon as they threatened income, they was on. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, as soon as it counted, all of a sudden she backed off, so I don't want to, she told them to go to another part of the campus or something. I mean.
Right, and that's the thing. It was an outright lie. She didn't do that.
That's what I mean. It's a joke. But what's funny, though, is I couldn't believe they let, they probably won't repeat this again, they let Greenwald, whatever his name is, on the Sunday show.
Yeah, that ain't happening again.
He tore that shit up. I was like, damn, fool. Had them all looking crazy. Even had George Will mumble. I'm like, oopsie. You picked the wrong progressive, because that freak tore it up.
Yeah, because you picked a real progressive.
You know, he made the most, so Glenn made the most of his time. I swear to God, that was crazy.
Yeah, enjoy it while you're there, because you're not coming back, Glenn.
Well, I just, you know, I would like to think, but he really, I was like, you know, once again, you sort of think, wow, when you get a little look-see on what it really should be like, you know?
Right. Well, look, you know, Bill Maher's not going to be coming back to this, you know, this Sunday with the prostitutes or whatever show it was he was on. Because he looked George Will in the eye and he said, you know what? I'm not saying all Republicans are racists, but I will say that if you find a racist, most likely he's a Republican.
Oh, no, he was talking to the Mossad agent, Wolf Blitzer.
No, that was George Will on Sunday morning.
Oh, was he doing that too?
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, he dropped that one right in. I mean, he dropped that right in George Will's lap, and George Will had a look on his face, looked like he couldn't tell whether he'd just eaten chocolate or cat shit.
I didn't know he did that to George Will. Well, George Will is getting it on all ends. Couldn't happen to a nicer person. What the hell? I gotta look that one up.
You know, I'd just like to see him and Pat Buchanan sitting down for cocktail hour someday. Just have a hidden microphone and catch what they really say.
Oh, yeah, no, they're horrible. You know they're horrible. That's
you know, when
horrible.
You're, yeah, when you're six scotches down the road and you're letting the hair down and telling your real truth.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm still reeling from that horrible article Will wrote about, it all came out about how he views, you know, Mexicans, you know? I forget the exact quote. It basically was saying, mistreating people who, you know, mow your lawn and I'm thinking, oh, well, that's nice. Just the context. It just was perfect how they view, you know, people they know nothing about. I mean, they're just, these elites are so horrible.
And what do they call them over at Crooks and Liars? The villagers? Yeah. By the same token, speaking of what Pat Buchanan said about Mexicans, this thing coming out of course, Texas, is just a mind warper. A teacher in Texas has been verified by other student witnesses in a newspaper story by the San Antonio News. It's Jefferson High School, and an English teacher there was removed from the classroom because she spent a day or a class period just riding a Mexican, a Hispanic Latino student who was wearing a Mexican soccer jersey, just rode him like a barred mule. The news story says Ortiz, who was wearing a jersey from a Mexican soccer team, said the teacher told him to sit in the front row. She proceeded to single him out repeatedly, Ortiz said, pointing at him as she made comments like, "The Mexicans with their attitudes are the racist ones." And then she kept pointing at him and told the class, "Mexicans always expect handouts. Soon it's going to be the United States of Mexico." And other students said, "Yep, she said it."
Wow. Okay, so has she been suspended?
Removed from the classroom is the official terminology.
Well, that would be another example of the
folder. Now it's the guess who's coming to dinner file.
Yeah, that would be in that file right away. Unbelievable! That poor kid. What?
And then the young man, Mr. Ortiz, went to the vice principal, and the vice principal brushed him off. Ah, so, yeah, well, you know what? nothing to it. There's no big deal.
Oh, of course.
But then the principal heard about it, and the administrators removed the teacher, launched an investigation, and here's the irony. Young Mr. Ortiz said, she was my favorite teacher.
Oh, God. See, that's horrible. See, that's awful. What grade was this?
11th grade, I think.
Oh, I don't know. That's...
Maybe a senior, I'm not sure. But, you know, if the kid's 17 years old, it's probably senior English because one of the corroborating witnesses, Raina Mondragon, corroborated the story, and she's 18.
Oh, no.
And she said the kind of discussion we had on Thursday, May the 6th, wasn't like the discussion that we normally have.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, the teacher went on one of these typical teabagger rants, asking, you know, why do we have to translate all our documents into Spanish? And then went so far as to question whether Mexicans should be allowed to own land in the United States. I thought these right-wingers were all about property. I mean, I thought property was the most sacred value that America had. Did I miss something there?
No, I thought a lot of Mexicans owned land in the U.S. They, went to war and murdered all, but I don't really know what, you know, she's... God damn it, Texas. My goodness. What in the world?
Yeah, it's...
That is bad.
Yeah, in a corner of the world where English is the second language anyway.
No, it's incredible.
Spanish was spoken there before English was... Oh!
And that's why I was tripping in Arizona about the no more ethnic study classes for people who make up damn near the majority of the school. I mean...
Yeah, did it dawn on those idiots that... when they say no more Native American studies either.
Well, no, but what's more disturbing is that, okay, we're just going to force, you know, white genocide history on you. I mean, you know, what are they talking about? How do you eliminate, I don't know, I can't even wrap my head around that law. It really is bizarre.
Well, and see, there was a story out over the weekend, and I hung on to it because I figured I would probably get myself in trouble about it. But it bears mentioning because the AD Anti-Defamation League or headline says Jewish groups, you know, headline Jews stop Arizona Nazis comparison says crackdown on illegal immigrants not like Holocaust. And see, that's the hell of these false equivalences, Sandra. No one is saying that what Arizona has done is like rounding up people and gassing them and cremating their remains in ovens. No one is saying that.
Where did they get that straw, man? Yeah. Wow,
yeah, right.
Man.
It's a false equivalence. No one is saying that. But Rabbi Marvin Heyer says comparisons of Arizona's immigration law to the Holocaust are way off base. No, it's not, because when you've got a papers please policy, it's not a comparison to the Holocaust. It is a comparison to a damn police state, which Arizona wants desperately to be. Now, so we can't compare them to the Nazis. Can we compare them to the Soviet Union?
Well,
or any fascist dictatorship?
No, it's definitely totalitarianism. I mean, it's textbook. Please, 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 please. I mean, the fact that 51% or some huge percentage of, you know, they keep doing these nationwide polls and they keep finding that most people support it, you know, that's what's bugging me. I'm like, wow, okay.
And, you know, Sandra, do we have to get out that 14 defining points of fascism thing again?
Well, exactly.
Just to remind people?
No, it seems to be, you know, sort of overtaking pretty substantially here. I mean, the Arizona thing hasn't even come into effect yet, right?
No, it happens this summer. And still, just to work my little side of the street, that not a word that I can find has been said to the NCAA about pulling the championship game in January. Not a word.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, because I thought that we would hear more noise about that one.
And it's crickets. You know, that's going to happen 6 months before the All-Star game in baseball.
Mm. Well, I like how all these sports athletes are coming out with a, I forget the one baseball player, he's like, oh, you know, can we not have spring training in Arizona anymore?
Yeah.
Speaking as a, I can't remember his name, but it was just like, you know, sort of these.
Phoenix has already lost $10 million, and they're looking at losing as much as 90 because of boycotts.
Right, but this whole law was supposed to save American jobs, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, come on. Listen, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to touch base on the oil spill. So I was sort of taken aback by the disbursement is now hiding all the oil, and there's like massive sheets underneath.
Yeah. And that creates a sort of psychic space for Brit Hume to get on Fox and say, where's the oil?
Oh, no, but I saw that idiot. But what I'm scared of is this could mean no oxygen. That's what I was stuck on.
Yeah, it does mean that. And it's and now that, you know, now there's a story breaking that even after they knew what they were into, BP chose its dispersant from a kindred company, and the dispersant that they chose from the kindred company is less effective than the one they could have chosen from a non-captive or whatever.
Right. No. I saw that, and once again, it's like they want to maximize profit. Because they can't. Why don't they just close that damn thing already? Oh, no, they're still trying to get the oil. In fact, they managed to get just 20%. What about the other 80% still gushing, Bob?
There is that.
I mean, also I read that they think, oh, God, it's going to get caught now, and now the Keys and everywhere else is up for grabs when this shit gets in the current.
Yeah, it's going to loop.
And it's so deep now, 300 feet deep of oil and 10 miles wide underneath.
Yeah, because, see, I've got, hey, let's throw a little curveball into this mix, Sandra. What happens to a nuclear submarine when you send it through a layer of raw crude?
I don't know.
I don't either, but you reckon we might be finding out?
Oh, no, come on now. They got enough sense to avoid that.
It's can you? At this point, can it be avoided?
Well, see, I'm having a hard time visualizing just that description. 10 miles wide and then 300 feet deep of just this sort of sheet of oil. Is that what they're saying?
That's how I read it, and I lack the mathematics skill to figure out what that is in terms of cubic yards.
Well, no, I'm just trying to, I'm lacking the imagination, because it just sounds incomprehensible, and I do understand. If they're talking lack of oxygen, that must be ginormous.
That's a major die-off zone. Nothing gets to live there.
But the BP CEO said, "Oh, the ocean's huge." Did you hear that one?
Yeah, big ocean, real big ocean.
So
small planet, big ocean.
Right. Now that tells me also that, you know, they don't care. And these dumb Americans who think America is exceptional, wake up. They don't give a F about this country. It's just another place to maximize profit.
Well, yeah, and this is being noted in the chat room. Let's take this into account. Let's say you're an industrious person who likes to save a little money, so you change your own oil. If you take that oil from your oil change and you pour it in your backyard, you can be arrested and prosecuted and imprisoned. If you're BP, however, it's just business. It's the same thing with mountaintop removal.
Yeah.
If I go out of season onto a mountainside and I harvest ginseng or slippery elm bark or any number of other medicinal plants that grow in these hills, and I get caught, my ass goes to jail. Okay? On the other hand, Massey Energy blows up the entire mountain's worth of ginseng, and they're not busted for illegal harvesting. You know, it's this. I'm getting a little sick, Sandra, of this constant reminder of just how brazen they're willing to be in slapping us in the face with what is clearly a multi-tiered judicial system. You know, look at these two kids. $100,000 bond, Sandra.
Yeah, no. That one, that story, too, my head was reeling on that. I'm like, good Jesus, you know. It's just police state. I just think that's what's going on. And when you start looking at the sheer amount of unemployment in this country, Bob, it's really bad. It's so much worse than what we need to be hearing about day to day.
It is.
You know, and I'm talking about, not so much the college graduates or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean people who are just, high school diploma or whatever. It's like 30-odd percent unemployment, those numbers.
Yeah, once you take out the fudge factor and all the dummy ups, it's still ugly out here.
And it's just sort of, the thing is, I can't believe there's no movement on that front from Washington, and it looks like that's the way it's going to be.
And
so my thing is, there's another sort of, we need to extend the insurance again, right? And why do I get the feeling that they're going to just say, too bad?
No, this is, to hell with you.
No, I'm saying, I think we're getting to that point. That's what I think is going to happen with the $40 million on food stamps, that number. I just wonder, because I don't see no jobs being created.
That's mainly because they're not. I mean, not a lot. No, what we're doing is we're treading water at best and sinking to a certain degree. And going back real quick to a couple of things you touched on before we do break it off. The Zen Master, we were talking a little basketball. The Zen Master, Phil Jackson.
Don't. I know about that. That pissed me right the hell off. But go ahead. Yeah, tell the people.
Yeah, he came out in a full-throated the support of the Arizona law, and then went so far as to make a bunch of nasty comments about the Los Suns jersey and criticizing the Phoenix team for wearing them. I thought this man, this Phil Jackson, he's supposed to be enlightened, right? He's a Buddhist. Montana. He stares at his navel and washes his rice bowls. And
lives in Montana. But don't they lock you up for a seed for 20 years in Montana?
Kind of do.
Right. I mean, hey,
got to get past the gate first, though.
No, I was surprised, but then I just thought, oh, my God, all these people are so disgusting, And go Phoenix.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay, Bob, listen, I'll let you go. Have a good evening.
All right, you take care.
All right, bye.
All right. Sandra calling from California. And we've got anybody here? Yeah. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's been a little while since I called Bob. Brian from New Hampshire here.
How you doing, Brian?
How are you? I've been really bummed. I got some other things going on in my life, of course. It's this wonderful economy, what Sandra's just alluding to there. But dealing with another skinflint insurance company about the storm damages.
Oh, jeez.
It's nothing compared to what's going on now with going over the peak, this whole oil spill. And there's a lot of information I got over here. An oil rig worker there, Christopher Choi, and his wife, Monica Choi, he's talking about the 40 hours he was awake, didn't know where he was. He'd interview at PBS NewsHour at pbs.org/newshour. You can follow from there from May 16th about how the Deepwater Horizon worker, he had his pending legal battle where they made him under duress. This guy was totally exhausted from trying to survive that damn explosion and oil rig sinking. And him and his wife there are in some waiting area or something that a Transocean representative makes him sign. And he tells him it's nothing. Oh, there's nothing to worry about it. And Christopher Joy says, when I signed that, he signed some form there to try to get them off of any liability, Transocean or probably BP as well. Christopher Choi, the oil rig worker, says, when I signed that, I didn't care what it was. I wanted to sign the papers. I wanted to do whatever I could do just so me and my wife could leave to go home. Monica Choi, wife of Christopher Choi, said, they made it like it was nothing. And now they're just trying to hold that against us, you know, hold it against us in court. And it just, it goes on from there, just about the 40 hours of hell the man went through there. Horrible. He says, Mr. Choi says, people were going crazy. There was people jumping off the rig, people holding people back from jumping off the rig, people scrambling to get to the lifeboats, everybody, a bunch of people were yelling, you know, we got to get out of here. The derrick's going to blow up. We got to get out of here. And it just it goes on from there. It's at PBS NewsHour, PBS.org. But there's other information. There's so much out there, Bob. I'm just the only one bright spot I'm thinking of. Try to look at the bright side of anything. I learned that from the Marine Corps. And then the you know, the Bohica, bend over, here it comes again, type of analogy. But the fact is, Bob, it looks like the Coast Guard today, they're saying that the oil's supposed to go into South Florida. It's going to catch on eventually, or it's close to catching on to that Gulf Stream. But it sounds like possibly, you know, your poor man's Alabama's Riviera there, the beaches there, the Panhandle, could it possibly at least mean that they could be spared, those beautiful, they're like sugar, sand beaches, whatever. I've driven by there. I never had the time to stop at those beautiful beaches, though.
No, they're exquisite for what they are. And you know, there's spared and then there's spared, Brian, because, yeah, you know, the whole economy down there is predicated on the fishing and shrimping industry.
Yeah, that's right. That's you can't, it's not legal to fish now in Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi, I believe. I don't think off the in the Gulf there, just, or at least even just offshore there, I don't think it's legal to catch fish there. It's they're not edible, not considered edible anymore at this point. But they're saying that this thing, this, and what you and Sandra were talking about, is some of these experts online, they're not all doomsayers, they're not all talking about Armageddon, but they're saying that it might be the oil slick itself, underwater and above water, the size of the state of Maryland.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's been explained to me, Brian. It's a three-dimensional oil blob. And the way David described it to me, he said, think of a whale, 10 miles long, 3 miles wide, and 300 feet through its middle. That's the blob. He says it's a function.
A whale would be a lot more evolved creature with their sonar and their telepathy.
No, but I mean, in terms of trying to get your head around the size of it, yeah. It's a function of oil and compressed natural gas, water, and then the millions of gallons of emulsifier that was pumped into the area. And David notes there are several of them of various sizes, not just one. And it's all happening in the 5,000 foot depths of the Gulf of Mexico.
And also, do you know if this, that I'm going by a Mother Jones piece, I think that, yeah, it's from today, BP says, they say that that's what they're just letting out now, that they're just beginning to let it leak now after nearly a month, that it's 210,000 gallons of oil are spilling in the Gulf per day. But John, I don't know if you know this gentleman, John Amos, a geologist at the West Virginia-based nonprofit Sky True, says that at least 1.1 million gallons of oil is leaking out of the well every day. And I've heard higher estimates. And at 40, there's 42 gallons to one barrel of oil, right?
Right.
Okay, and that means for 1.1 million, that means that there's 20, that's an average of 26,190 barrels of oil leaking every day. This Mr. Amos is not as nearly as much an Armageddonist as some of the other people on the internet are saying, you know, that this could be an extinction event or that kind of thing. And, you know, it could, what was it, that the 65 million year old, asteroid hit in the Yucatan Peninsula there, which is just, you know, it's on that edge of that Gulf of Mexico there, which is ironic and horribly so. But he was saying, yes, but it is a lot worse than they're letting on. And that people should also go to the Stephen Worley at Purdue University, associate professor of mechanical engineering, and he's talking about the fact is these corporations have got us by... You know,
they do have us by them.
It's time for President Obama to pounce on these damn corporations. That's all I can, how I can put it, Bob. Now's the time for him to pounce at these and just let him have it. He was playing. He shouldn't have done that. I was all along where he okayed the offshore drilling about February of this year, but it was kind of, some people were saying, and I was saying that too, I was dead wrong, I hope, that it was a chess game he was playing to force the Republicans into going along with his legislation overall. But the fact is, I think this is woken up. If it's woken up somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger and that beautiful coastline also of California, of what they're realizing. I've gone back over the history of the Santa Barbara oil spill in 1969. That's one of the driving forces there that drove Richard Nixon to make the Environmental Protection Agency and the
right.
many environmental laws. And why, that's another reason why the corporatists may have gotten him out of office. It wasn't just Watergate. Richard Nixon and his taxation policies were for the working class guy. He wasn't like the Bushes, these elitist bastards, these corporatist bastards, and too many Democrats that collaborate with them. But Barack Obama, with his 95% of us getting the tax cut, and that's one positive thing for sure. That's one part. And now that Mike Malloy had it on just the other day, that I think it was Friday Night Show, traditionally the last 50 years or more, Americans, their total taxation of all Americans who work and make an income, they pay about traditionally somewhere around 12% total. Of their total income is taxed every year from federal and local everything taxes, but now under Barack Obama it's now down to 9.2% of all of our income is taxed every year. Part of that, I guess, it could be because of the bad economy too. There's a lot more people that are at a lower income, they're making lower salaries, like Sandra's just alluding to. Sadly, that they're not making enough income. Many now, more and more, that where they have to pay the federal income tax. You know, that's how bad things are. But the fact is that his tax break for 95% of us, Barack Obama, that's one good thing. But the rest of it, with the siding with these Wall Street fiends, and he still has that thief Bernanke working for him in the Fed. I'm not inspired by Barack Obama, and I don't think many of us progressives are. Many true Democrats are, Bob. And I think that's one other reason why these lying people like Sarah Palin, these lies addicted corporatist Christianists like her, and the teabaggers, they're trying to get their feet in the door. But that's, you know, again, it is the same thing. It's like you're talking about with the Arizona law there. You were just talking with Sandra. It is the same thing. You're getting into a police state. The people that scapegoat the other, whether it's Mexican, whether it's homeless, whether it's mentally ill, whether it's, you know, disabled, elderly, people who need health care. You know, Barack Obama, I'm hoping for the best still for the health care. I still don't think it's real reform, but I'm hoping for the best. But he's got the perfect topic now, too, the perfect issue. The Gulf of Mexico could become a dead zone, or maybe it's already becoming so in vast areas of it. He's got to crack down on these people. He's got to, and the people, the American citizenry will be behind him. Never mind the American corporations. Never mind that this is, you know, now there's what the BP's using Gulf of Mexico as a toxic testing ground for some of these underwater. Now they're using the underwater absorbents, or they keep saying Tony Hayward is the BP, he's their CEO, right? He's saying it's all biodegradable, though. But the according to our own federal agencies, they haven't all been completely tested over time. But they're so desperate, they're doing that. This is we're leaving things up to industry and the free market, like it's some kind of, you know.
Yeah, how's that voluntary self compliance working out for us?
I know, I know it, Bob. It just what you were talking about earlier tonight, though. I'll try to leave on a light note there. That Debbie Shushel, and she's talking about where she's against that Islamic girl there, the Muslim American girl. That sounds great. That she's won the Miss USA. I can't stand beauty pageants either. But the fact is, Debbie Schlussel, she did do one good thing. She has gone after Sean Hannity with this phony veterans.
Did she do that
fundraising thing there, where he's taken in like somewhere like $8 million to $11 million for it, and he flies around in Lear jets, like just like Sarah Palin wants her Lear jets and her bendable straws and that. But he, out of that $11 million, maybe the $890, $1,000 has actually gone to military widows and families of the fallen service people in Iraq. And
yeah, it's a fraud.
Some number like, but it's some horribly low number there. It's disgusting. But she, Debbie Schlussel, on that one thing she's done some good, as actually supporting the troops. But she's one of the people there. You can't criticize Israel with her, because I believe Israel is, they're right wingers have such control. It's a fascist state now. It's not a, I don't want to, like, I wouldn't use that kind of language, especially with the nation state of Israel. God love them. what they've been through in the Holocaust. I wouldn't call, of course not Nazi is not the right word to use, but fascist for some of the hard right-wingers is the perfect word to use. We have too many fascists on this U.S. Supreme Court you were just talking about. They really, you know, Sarah Palin, I can't believe why are they still accepting her as an opinion leader? If the American people or they stole another election for her to assume the office, she could not handle the pressure for 4 years, not even for 4 years. John McCain, if he had ever won that 2008 election, they should have gotten the finest surgeons and doctors and skin cancer doctors on the planet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Catering to John McCain every moment of every day to make sure he gets through the first.
Did you catch what Bill Maher referred to them, Palin and McCain? Did you catch what he referred to them as over the weekend?
No.
The link was posted up over at Crooks and Liars. That's where I watched it. I don't have HBO. But
I don't have any cable TV, and but I don't miss it.
Yeah, I know. Most of the time, yeah, me either. But no, it was an obscure reference, but for me it was hilarious. He referred to McCain and Palin as the Ghost and Mrs. Moron. Do you remember the Ghost and Mrs. Muir?
Oh, that was a Rex Harrison was in the movie, right?
Exactly.
That beautiful actress that played in the TV series.
Hope Lang.
Hope Lang, beautiful. I had a crush on her. I was first starting to. I guess it was at the same time I was having a crush on Marianne or Ginger on Gilligan's Island.
Oh dear God! I was always a Marianne guy myself.
Marianne and I.
The Ginger was clearly too high maintenance for me.
Okay, that's true too. Getting back to that same thing about and Sandra, I want to talk to Sandra. She has a Harley Davidson.
No.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say something. Well, she'd be perfect up here in New Hampshire the summertime. They're driving around there. I would be like a, I'd be riding in the back, hanging onto her back there in the back seat of the Harley, the big hog there, terrified, hanging off my life. You know, we could have a beautiful relationship. But no, seriously, Sarah Palin. And this stuff, the dumbed down of America that we're getting into, Bob, it reminds me, I gotta bring it up, I know I tortured your audience before with Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, just a quick scene from Woody Allen movie Sleeper, where he travels through time and they get him back to his own, oriented to his own time, and that's what the kind of mind control they're gonna use on me, Debbie Schlussel and Sarah Palin, to try to force me to accept their rule. And it's just like Woody Allen's Miss Montana character in Sleeper. Here you go.
Suddenly prepared for total brainwash. Before round 6, state the 1970 instruction data. Proceed to 200 levels unknown. Programming code Omega. All systems proceed to activate subject.
Our Miss America contest is down to the 5 finalists. Miss Alabama. Miss Florida. Miss California. Miss Hawaii.
They went back the November 2010 midterms.
I think you're right. You're absolutely right. It's.
I know you don't have time for the rest of the segue. I was gonna. They have like two. Talk about Debbie Schlussel. That was the maybe two characters in that movie she might agree with. The two Jewish robots who are actually tailors. They're making a suit together for Woody Allen's Miles Monroe character that doesn't fit at all.
I had forgotten there were Jewish robots in Sleeper.
Jewish robots, yeah, in 2173 AD, I think it was. But that's the kind of... So at the same time, we have progressive candidates all over the country, and I'm still going to fight for them. But this presidency, you know, he's not inspiring, and neither are the, you know, Nancy Pelosi. She had she came back on for... kind of a you know with a bang there with the health care reform bill. It just to show some leadership in spite of these fascist Republicans that she really did. But the fact is that the leadership, they're just not inspiring the way. I mean, even Ronald Reagan could be very inspiring.
In his own sort of senile evil way. Yes.
Yeah, he was a complete and he remains a complete and utter disaster for this country. Ronald Reagan and a real history of it. The Soviet Union was falling from within in the 1970s. All the historical data is there. It had nothing to do. Jimmy Carter was increasing our defense spending. That was not what caused the Russians to implode. It may not have been Afghanistan, but the fact is we certainly suckered them into there when they had a democratically elected small-less socialist government there in Kabul. In the late 1970s, there, where they that would have been going back in the next 30 years that followed there, how much better off the Afghan people would have been with, you know, they had women professors and lawyers and nothing like the Taliban or Osama bin Laden being in power there for decades. But this is that's the same kind of, they want to distract us, make us look over there, look away from that oil spill, just believe what BP tells you that it just...
Yeah, BP wouldn't lie. I mean, they're good. Yeah, I mean, they're beyond petroleum.
That's right.
The only problem is beyond petroleum means beyond petroleum and into the waters of the Gulf.
And did you hear that? That's one of the great thing that Mike Malloy knows how to bring it down better than the verbosity of Carl O'Brien, but he brought it out there that beyond petroleum, and there's $73 billion, I think it was quarterly profits there the last quarter, $73 billion in quarterly profits, and from wind and solar and other alternative fuels, it was barely like $500 million or something like that, and the rest of it was $72.5 billion about was all from fossil fuels, gas and oil. That these people are said they get away with such
beyond petrol, like Fox News, Brian. Fox News is a brand name, just like Velveeta, and Beyond Petroleum is nothing but a marketing slogan. There's nothing beyond petroleum about BP. They're an oil company, period.
And do you think apparently the explosion started when it was Halliburton's crew that was trying to cap this. They were saving this oil for later. They were capping it with cement top or block or something, the blockage to save the well for later. It's nothing like it's kill baby kill now it is. It's not it's nothing like the overgrown girl Sarah's talking about. But they were not going to reuse this huge oil reserve that's down there that may all be, we may have to let it all come up apparently with the horrors of it. But they were capping that for using it later. They do not want, these bastards don't want to let too much oil on the market. They want to control the prices.
Absolutely. We are more, and look, I mean, it may sound a little bit crazy because we got so much coal here, Brian, but there's oil in West Virginia. There's oil in Pennsylvania. God knows there's oil in Texas. Guess what? Those wells are capped because it's being hung on to because they deem that the oil companies themselves deem that they are better off by not pumping it and getting it elsewhere.
Right, and maybe trying to get a better price from the Chinese market or the people of the markets in India or anywhere in Europe, whatever, South America. It's not our oil. These tea baggers, these tea partiers are so insanely stupid. I'm not going to call them idiots because there's some people who have a medical condition that could be called idiocy where it's not their fault. It's insulting to idiots, but these people, is it just willful ignorance, or is it just sheeple, they're so indoctrinated into that kind of behavior there where they think that, you know, any corporation and its profits are just the glorious, sacred free market? This is nonsense. How can they? It's not our oil. It's not. British Petroleum is not really British Petroleum. It's beyond petroleum in that way. It's globalist petroleum. That guy, I don't know, I've never heard his on interviews there. The guy, the CEO of BP. I don't know if he speaks with an English brogue or what. I think the English have a brogue too, Bob. When you get him, even an Oxfordshire man or something, when you get him really angry, their Irish temperament comes out. That's part of those Great Isles, and that they're not. That the good people over the British Isles, this British Petroleum, these heartless corporatist bastards have nothing to do with the good people of the British Isles, or like Exxon Valdez and Exxon Mobil is not at all representative of the good American people there. The fishermen that suffered in Prince William Sound, like our own, now the fishermen down there in the Gulf there, and the shrimpers, et cetera, the oil rig workers, those are the evocative of our true people there, and those people, we the people, have no control over our own oil supplies. We're never going to have control.
That's because it's not ours.
That's,
you know,
right. And that's,
and that's the point, Brian. The same political philosophy that gives us property rights are everything, and therefore, you know, if you own the mineral rights underneath the mountain, you've got the right to blow the mountain up. If you own the mineral rights underneath the land and it's oil, you can do anything you want to the land on top and it doesn't matter. And yet at the same time, you've got a teacher in San Antonio, Texas, questioning whether Mexicans should be allowed to own land. And yet they are ideologically allied. Honest to God, Brian, I don't know how their heads don't explode.
And that teacher, she's like, she might as well be the educational version or spokesman for the tea baggers, the tea partiers movement. How do these people, why are they even allowed a microphone? At least they threw her out of the school, at least for now, right? The teacher there, but they're going after the Mexican kid there.
Oh, they'll put her back in the classroom after the kids moved on and the school year's over.
Oh, yeah. That's it. There's so many Mexican-American, Hispanic-American kids that I served alongside and I've gone to school with. They're such good people. I can't. Arizona is, you know, it's beyond me. What's, you know, it still remains. I guess, but they're going to lose. They should lose tons of tourism and whatever income they get from that. I hope they lose it all. But it's a beautiful state there. That song there from the 70s, Arizona, you know, I don't know who sings it, but the beautiful song. And I remember as a kid there, the Arizona Highways, the read the beautiful.
Oh, Magnificent Magazine, absolutely.
Yeah, the photography there is beautiful. But what's happened to that state there, I think, you know, when you have somebody like Barry Goldwater is considered a respectable candidate from that state, when he thinks, why not victory about when he would just use nuclear weapons against the Russians and the Chinese in 1962, his book, you could see the kind of insanity that flows from that. And he thinks all unions are Marxist spies, Marxist organization, American unions, American workers that die in the Vietnam War in droves and in the Gulf War, et cetera. At the working class, like this Mr. Christopher Choi and his beloved wife there, that what they've gone through now with that, you know, 40 hours of hell, and then the insurance for BP, or that they try to make them sign off a release form for after the. I hope that they can never make that stick. I hope in a court of law, Bob. But what our American people have gone through is it's not right, and we can't keep giving a voice to the crazy right wing. Where's that Paul Craig Roberts guy? He may have already left the country. He was a Reagan official who he just fed up.
Yeah.
He says these people are fascists. They did the false flag September 11th attacks. I've had enough of them. He's saying, but you know, it just I'm gonna die here. As far as I'm concerned, I talk about my Irish heritage or Welsh or Scottish or Jewish too, as part. But this is my country. This is my homeland. And never mind the you know, and the Mexican Americans too. That they don't want to seize back California and Arizona. This is nuts. That they don't want to, you know, refight the Mexican War of 1848 A.D. It's crazy. That was a wrong war. Even Ulysses Grant was against that. But we are American now, and Arizona's part of it. It's somebody wanted to speak Spanish in a classroom. room in Phoenix or Scottsdale or Tucson is no threat whatsoever to the state.
No, but, no, and what we're dealing with here, really, and I know that the right wing resists it, but Brian, we're dealing with racism, because when you say that there is no value in learning about another culture, what you're saying is that there's no value to that culture itself.
Bob, you want to talk racism? Yeah, just I'm going back over a story in the very north of Vermont now. The Homeland Security, they're trying to seize a part of a land there that goes into Quebec because it's too open, it's too casual. They think Al Qaeda could slip in there in the Vermont border, you know, dairy farms up there, and just and maple farms and that, you know, maple syrup farms. But they're talking about that, and you see the French influence there. And in northern New Hampshire, northern New England, the French-speaking Franco-Americans are great people. It's still French is still spoken all over northern New Hampshire as a second language or a first language. It can be to many people there, and they're not thought of as some kind of Martian invaders, for God's sake, like they do to the Mexican people there. It's disgusting. And, you know, Franco-Americans have gone through, you know, you talk about the hellish conditions there, the workers there in the mill city here in New England, and French-Americans had to suffer through a lot of bigotry. And they did become more insular because of that damn bigotry. Part of it's my own Irish ancestors who, you know, because they wouldn't speak English, it's too stupid to realize our own Irish great Gaelic language was robbed from us, you know, like Scottish and that, by the English, divide and conquer. And it's the same, the waspy people there that would try to besmirch the French American people. They tried to mix in for centuries with the colonial and then revolutionary America and New England up here, but they kept running into horrible, horrible bigotry, and so the French culture became more and more, the Franco-American culture up here in New Hampshire and elsewhere in New England became more insular, naturally. That's what they expect of human beings. That's the natural reaction there. But even there, they still don't think of the French language is not considered some kind of threat to the culture of America. It's the same Latin or Romance language family as Mexican, i.e. Spanish, you idiots.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Bob, it's just the people have got to just wake up and quit playing. It's so stupid, just reactionary. You know, it just to make some stupid statement like that, to make dumb racist statements towards others, you know, that's only, it could work in a bad movie, a bad comedy, or professional wrestling, or roller derby interviews, but it does not belong in the national political scene any longer, and yet they're getting more and more of a voice. And it's a total dishonor to our country. They're just laying there wide open for Barack Obama to just let him have it. I really think he should really hit him with the progressive. It doesn't have to go as far as FDR either, but he needs to, you know, to go after these corporatist criminals. They may have just destroyed life in a huge swath of the Gulf of Mexico and the southern part of this great nation, and perhaps other nations as well, that gets in that Gulf Stream. It may go all the way up to merry old England there, right? It may go up there to affect fishing up there as well. I don't know. I'm sorry. Thanks to your audience for putting up with my rants.
Oh, no worries, Brian. Good to hear from you, my friend. You take care, all right?
You have a good night. Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye now.
Bye.
Brian's right. You know, I give Brian the forum that I give him because he packs so much into what he brings, and there are so many. He speaks so very much truth. We don't begin to have a conception of what we're facing with this oil spill, this gusher. David in South Carolina sent me an email a little bit ago, said titled "Oil Spill and Hurricane Season." Hurricane season, David says, will break the spill up, and it will go up the east coast of the U.S. and on to the U.K. via the Gulf Stream. All these southern Republican senators and representatives are cheering this on, while the people who live here are voting them back into office. And that's why I said Friday night that's not oil. Those aren't tar balls. That's conservative politics. That's conservatism. It's poisoning the Gulf of Mexico, just like it's poisoned the body politic of this country. It's that simple. Matt Osborne, by the way, did a tremendous job with a video based on that the other night. If you go over I'm just checking here. If you go over to BuzzFlash.com, you will see that our good friend Mark Carlin has posted the video from Friday night's rant. He's posted it on his page at BuzzFlash.com. It's not on the main page of videos, but if you click once, you'll have it. Alabama, conservative hypocrisy, and you can check it out for yourself. The other video, the Tim James Speaks English video, that thing's up approaching, 40,000 views or something like that. It's absolutely stunning. Just mind-boggling. So go and have a look. Hope you enjoy it. Pass it around. That's one way you know that we can help get the word of what we're doing here at the Horn. All of us, all of you, me, us, we, is by taking the stuff that Matt makes and making the best of it. So enjoy it and share it and pass it around. And I had an email from Corey, and I have to do a little mea culpa here. I'd mentioned a number of times on the program, although apparently it's entirely possible to miss things in the mishmash of the whole show. Corey saying, for Moran Monday, I want to nominate Corey myself. She shows up every Saturday to hear Cynthia Black and John Fox on Sunday like a dummy. Can't we set up an early warning system, Bob, like 2 days if there's not going to be a new show, please? And, yeah, that's my fault. It really is. I had, late in the program, I had an email from Cynthia Black, and Action Point is something that I came to love very, very quickly. However, Action Point has gone on hiatus. Cynthia suffers from terrible, 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 terrible migraine headaches. I hope I'm not talking out of school here. But she said that she's got to dedicate some time to getting some relief for them, finding a cure, whatever, because otherwise they're going to drive her completely, you know. And if you suffer from them, you know exactly what she's talking about. So Action Point is gone for a while, and hopefully we'll be back in a couple of months after Cynthia gets remedied somehow or another. John Fox and I, John's been working for a while now trying to figure out how to reposition All Foxed Up, because his schedule has changed sufficiently there in Australia that the Sunday night slot, which is actually his Monday afternoon, is absolutely impracticable. So we're working on trying to figure that out. It's on hiatus now as well. But I'll let you know. And Rick Smith is there. And if you've never tuned in to hear Rick Smith, you're missing a treat. Rick is as good as they come, period. And his show runs over the weekend. Check him out by all means. It runs in the rerun loop over the weekend, and it runs first at about 5:20 p.m. on Saturday evening. So do try to be there for that. In the meantime, we will put up a notice, Corey and everybody, when the schedule gets settled back down to something approaching normal. So with all that having been said, we're going to take a little break. There's about 45 minutes left in the program. Take a little break, play a little something from Ronnie James Dio. John Fox sent this along, Rainbow in the Dark, just as a sort of a memorial to one of the great rock and roll vocalists of the last 20, 30 years, gone at age 67. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You are, in fact, listening to the Horn. Rainbow in the Dark. We'll be right back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
There's a new type of music program coming to the Horn.
Got a letter from the government the other day. Opened it and read it. It said they were suckers.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. But I won't need the
battle call. Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Down K Street.
The People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead and Mitch has got him. Kelly Hathaway was out on the list. And then goes on and on.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
Now, but
your flag, the cow won't get you into heaven anymore.
Synth and stuff. This is the intro to Holy Diver. David and Maine sent it along. Ronnie James Dio. It's about 22 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, Eastern Time Zone. I hope you're having a lovely evening, afternoon, morning, whatever. And, you know, hello, Planet Z Block. I'm Bob. And just during that break, during the song, I went back and read a little bit more of Debbie Schlussel. This is one hate-filled woman. I mean, stunning in her hatred. I don't know why I would be surprised we're dealing with a right-winger, after all. But she is as nasty gets. Calling this new Miss USA a slut.
Had enough. USA Today whines over Muslim boxers' visa to U.S.
If you follow boxing as I do, yeah, I'm sure you do, Debbie. You know that most Muslim boxers, not talking Mike Tyson here, are a lot of bluster, but not very skilled. She refers to Prince Nassim Hamed, a runty Muslim from Great Britain, and goes after Amir Iqbal Khan, a Pakistani Muslim, also from Great Britain. And, I mean, this is slurring for stunning. Hatred for hatred's sake. Amazing. Just a little something for your consideration. I'm going back to the phones in a sec. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. It is Moran Monday on the horn. And I want to get another nominee out there. Rand Paul. Yes, yes, Rand Paul, who as a young newborn was named after Ayn Rand by his freak father, Ron Paul. Rand Paul, running for the Senate in the state of Kentucky as a Republican, and scaring the bejesus out of people like chinless Mitch McConnell. Rand Paul has declared that he seeks the he wants the repeal. Anybody who has to deal with any sort of disability, just try not to throw anything. Rand Paul wants to repeal the Americans with Disabilities Act. You know the ADA, passed in 1990. Took a magnificent stride forward in making illegal discriminating against someone because of physical disabilities. I remember in 1990 when it passed, when the oxymoron, the junkie who lives in 24,000 square feet of a mansion with nothing but a cat. I remember when Flush Flemball said, "My friends, it will destroy the American economy." Then a few years later, we were in the biggest peacetime expansion of the economy since World War II. But nobody ever holds these freaks to the account for what they are so profoundly wrong about. No, Rand Paul was asked whether he supports the ADA. And he said he advocates for local governments to decide whether disabled individuals deserve rights. Rand Paul, teabagger, actually said that the ADA is unfair to business owners. So, because I hate to miss a Moran nominee, I offer you Rand Paul. This is too good for words.
Can I ask that question? Sure. Do you support the Americans with Disabilities Act? Or do you think that's the federal government getting too involved?
You know, I think a lot of things on employment should be done locally, you know, figuring out what's right or wrong.
Yeah, it should be done locally.
Some of the things, you know, for example, I think we can come up with common sense solutions. Like, for example, if you have a three-story building and you have someone who applies for a job, you might get them a job on the first floor if they're in a wheelchair as opposed to making...
Yeah, he heard that big bang and he wasn't sure what was going on behind him.
You know what I mean? So things like that I don't think are fair to the business owner. I think we should try to accommodate people on the jobs.
You would have to...
This is precious.
I've never looked at the whole thing to see, but I think this, I don't like the idea.
Okay, so are we square on this? He's never actually looked at the whole Americans with Disabilities Act, but he thinks that, you know, maybe, my God, this is the Moran answer of the night. You know what? If you've got a three-story building and somebody applies for a job and they've got a wheelchair, give them a job on the first floor. What a shallow prick this guy is. Because it's about more than... people with disabilities have trouble with more than just climbing stairs. If you've got a business and you got somebody who applies for a job and they're blind, put them in a well-lighted room. Moran. Jesus.
The whole thing to see, but I think this... I don't like the idea of telling a business owner that they have to put an elevator in versus you should just not make an accommodation where you can go to the first floor. So it's a very emotional issue for people, you know. But I think better to decide more things like that are really around in Washington.
Now, there's something coming up that's going to make you absolutely... this is funny. This is funny. So there's another question coming. But remember, the Americans with Disabilities Act is unfair to the business owner. The business owner. If you've got somebody coming to work for you and they're deaf, you know, put them in a quiet room so maybe they can hear something. And yet they continue to be treated as if they are somehow these wingnuts, as if they've actually got an... This is not an idea. This is just general hatred for civil society. This guy, you know, pack him up. Pack up Rand Paul and send him to Haiti or Somalia. And let him experience the full glory of that free market he so ardently both defends and worships. Okay, this is a question. It's a little noisy back there, but you want to hear this. I'll go ahead and read it out as well. Do you think Americans, based on the Second Amendment, do you think they have a constitutional right to violently overthrow the government?
Do you think Americans, based on the Second Amendment, do you think they have a constitutional right to violently overthrow the government?
We're going to stop recording. Public place, sir. This is a public place.
Yeah, you got that? Do you think Americans, based on the Second Amendment, do you think they have a constitutional right to violently overthrow the government? And one of his staffers puts his hand over the camera, kind of like when Don Blankenship assaulted that ABC News reporter. Put his hand over the camera. All right, we're going to have to stop recording. It's a public place. And Rand Paul walks away. Because, see, that's Rand Paul's dirty little secret. Just as militias roam the streets of Mogadishu in that free market wonderland that is Somalia, Rand Paul has a taste for militias himself. You know, he spoke at the Open Curry rally in Kentucky a couple of months ago. And among those there were the Ohio Valley Freedom Fights. This is a group that openly worked with those goofballs from Hootery or Huttery or whatever they were. And as he spoke to these highly armed toy soldier freaks who could never who couldn't get through 6 weeks of basic in the real military, he referred to them as his private security detail. They all had "I'm a Rand fan" stickers on them. Yeah, people like Rand Paul really do give Mitch McConnell, Chinless Mitch, the squirts. Because they're not controllable, and they put forward the absolutely terrifying prospect of America seeing what they're really all about. Mitch McConnell absolutely has nightmares at the very thought of Rand Paul becoming a United States senator. Yeah. Because then we will see the full hateful glory of conservatism in all its toxic blossoming. Can you just see Senator Rand Paul out there introducing legislation on the floor of the United States Senate that would tell every American with a disability to piss off? What? No job on the first floor? Too bad. Starve! Amazing. Simply amazing. And yet, people are going to vote for this freak. Some portion of citizens of Kentucky will prove that they have a severe mental deficiency, that they probably have a disability in their own right, and they will vote for Rand Paul. Oh, and a quick follow-up, just because you might find this useful. I asked you earlier, I said, you know, you want to do some activism? Go to climategroundzero.org and pass around the story of this miserable human being, Porter Snodgrass, who hung a $100,000 bond for nothing more than misdemeanors on a couple of nonviolent protesters. Well, I just want to give you something with which to compare it. In the recent past, this goes back to a post from It's Getting Hot in Here from March 23rd. In the recent past, in West Virginia, A man accused of four sex crimes involving a 13-year-old girl got out on $15,000 bond. Another man, after stabbing someone five times in the back, was admitted to $10,000 bond. His accomplice was given $6,000 bond. A 19-year-old Beckley woman was arrested for wanton endangerment after shooting at another woman at a Family Dollar parking lot. She was being held on $10,000 bond. Nonviolent protester trying to actually save communities and lives in West Virginia, $100,000 bond. It is not a miscarriage of justice in West Virginia. It is an open abortion. It is a coat hanger abortion of justice. And in response to an email from Sandra, Rand Paul, is that the sainted Ron Paul's son? Yes, yeah, Sandra, it is, and I agree. Yuck. So just I wanted you to have that data. This is the absolute perversion of anything approaching justice in this country. After all, pay attention to the Eighth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's very simple. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Apparently, the United States Constitution does not apply in the fiefdom of West Vercolia. God almighty. 24 minutes before the hour. Let's go to the phones. No. Okay. And by the way, from the just crazy stuff out there, from time to time I've been guilty of watching the occasional cooking show. I never saw this guy before. But Juan Carlos Cruz, I'm sure the wing nuts and baggers and so forth will be going crazy over this guy. Juan Carlos Cruz, who hosted the Food Network show Calorie Commando, has been charged in L.A. with attempted murder and solicitation of murder. The DA's office reporting that 48-year-old Juan Carlos Cruz offered money to two homeless men to kill his wife. Santa Monica police arrested Cruz Thursday after one of the homeless men contacted the department. He must have really, really hated her brioche. Now, there's Morans, another nominee, if you will. And we may have to retire this one, too. We may have to retire Pope Benedict as well. Pope Benedict the 16th, speaking in Fatima, Portugal, where he went to celebrate the, whatever, 70th or 80th or 90th or whatever anniversary or whatnot of the fraud at Fatima. You know, where the little girls said they hallucinated them some St. Mary, and she gave them secret predictions that the church is still real dodgy about. This past Thursday, no kidding, Pope Benedict XVI, Benny the Rat, said that abortion and same-sex marriage are among the most, his words, not mine, insidious and dangerous threats facing the world today. Yeah, I didn't have so much to say about priests sticking their schlussels in little boys. No, that's not one of the, what are his words, most insidious and dangerous threats facing the world today. No, priests raping children, not insidious, not dangerous. No, that would be two people who love each other and want to commit to each other for the rest of their lives. That's insidious and dangerous. A woman having actual control over the workings of her own internal organs, that's insidious and dangerous. An entire continent that is absolutely burning up with the HIV virus, Africa, the transmission of which could be dramatically reduced through nothing more complex than a condom. That's not insidious and dangerous, according to the air to the Sea of St. Peter. That's not insidious and dangerous. It is insidious and dangerous, however, if Greg and Steve want to pick out a China pattern together. That's insidious and dangerous. The wholesale rape of the entire planet by a system predicated on self-consumption, you know, the capitalist system, all of that, that's not insidious and dangerous. But a teenager who got done by her daddy being able to get that hateful fetus out of her, that product of rape and incest, that's insidious and dangerous. Honest to God, how could, and I'm just going to ask the question, I don't mean to be rude, I'm not trying to be nasty or mean, but how can anybody of enlightened mind, and I'm not talking about the people who worship in the Roman Catholic Church with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other. That's not who I'm talking about. But how can anyone of an enlightened mind still remain inside the Roman Catholic Church, knowing what they do about what the Church has done? Consider the case that went down in Vermont. The Associated Press reported recently that dozens of former altar boys who sued Vermont's Catholic Church over alleged sexual abuse by priests are going to share in a nearly $18 million settlement of their cases. 26 former altar boys. Who were raped by priests will share in an $18 million settlement. The lawsuit itself accused the diocese of negligent hiring. Many of the cases centered on defrocked Reverend Edward Paquette. He was transferred into Vermont in the mid-1970s. And the case will not go to trial. It gets settled. Apparently, in order to make the payment, of course, they're going to take it out of the hide of the parishioners. In a statement posted on the website of the 118,000 member diocese, Matano, who is the bishop, Bishop Salvatore Matano, said that to make the payment, the church would sell its Burlington headquarters, which includes prime undeveloped Lake Champlain waterfront property and a lakeside summer camp on Meleta Bay in Colchester. Who knows how I'm mispronouncing it? It's probably pronounced. Who knows? But yeah. And I guess we're supposed to feel sorry for them? I don't. Because I didn't see anything in that story about the defrocked priest. Being prosecuted or imprisoned. Don't see it anywhere. So once again, the church evades justice, and the parishioners pay it out of their hide. Because you know what? Parishioners' offerings, parishioners' tithes went to purchase that lakefront property. But parishioners are not the ones who did the evil deeds. I personally think that every check for this should be written by the Vatican, because they're the ones who ignored it all, who turned a blind eye. What's a little buggery? just wow. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Fancy?
Hey. Several thoughts. One, I really enjoyed the interview with, was his name Pease? The fellow who wrote the book on...
Yes, yes.
Nice interview. Nice guy.
Thank you.
And really supported... Remember, one of my theories is that immigration is... The job of the first generation of immigrants is to survive.
Right.
The job of the second generation of immigrants is to there is some genius. We will see genius in that second generation. And the third generation is to excel. And, you know, as I said, people who say, well, if they're going to live here, they're going to speak English. No. First generation's not going to speak English all that well, and some not at all. By the third generation, they will speak English better than you do.
Yes.
And my son teaches English, you know, in Germany, and he works with international business people. And one of the things he says is, "You don't be surprised if your English is a lot better than American native speakers."
Yes, absolutely. That's why
you have no idea how to not end a sentence with a preposition, or know the difference between who and whom.
Yeah, that preposition business is something up with which I will not put.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so yeah, we're going to see that. And I heard a quote this week from Bloomberg. I don't know when he said it. I don't know in what context he said it, but I really liked it. And this is Bloomberg of New York.
Yes.
A city of immigrants. And he's very much into the positive aspect of immigrants. And one of the things he suggested is he said, well, immigrants are very often quite good at establishing small business. And he said, what he would like to do is just any immigrant that wanted one, come get a green card. And as long as you employed 10 or more people, that green card was valid. And I was thinking of all the specialty restaurants and the, you know, the small neighborhood businesses that serve communities. And it was like, hey, that is a really good idea. Like it a lot. And I think this is something we can look to that... I have never had the thought about Bloomberg one way or the other particularly. But, gee, that sounds like a good idea. That as long as you open a business and employ 10 or more people, you have a green card.